While reading the news on big gaming websites, I had the all too often, please accept our marketing cookies spiel. The text says we use these cookies for advertising and may be shared, but then the media on the page require tracking cookies be enabled. This is deliberate misdirection from a deliberate choice, and it's a bad one. Privacy principles exist for a reason, and sites that hide significant detail behind some obnoxious agreement will fail faster. This is my 20 seconds of activism. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to carry on with the actual news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live once again tonight with episode number 834 for this August the 30th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined here, as I usually am, via the magic of Discord by Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, it's been quite a week.
It's been emotional and
absolutely
difficult.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, again, I know we talk about video games, but there's a lot of other stuff that happens in the world too. And right at the top of last week's show, we were kind of talking about the great loss that, you know, you and I were feeling with the drag community and the loss of Chi-Chi Devane, right?
Yeah.
And now just, you know, days ago, we're getting this news about, you know, we lost Chadwick Boseman, which was a shock to obviously a lot of people because, you know, he had kept his illness and what he was battling for 4 years a secret, which he had every right to do, obviously. And, you know, obviously, but now it's like you go back and you look at everything that he was doing with those movies and, you know, visiting the kids in the hospitals and everything and just the stuff he was doing for, you know, the black community and, you know, the things he contributed to the Marvel universe and just everything he was doing. And he was
the embodiment of representation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and he was the embodiment of like a good person, and just to lose that is horrible.
Not just as a black man, but also for invisible illnesses.
Yeah,
because he did hide it very well.
Yeah,
there's a lot of us who are suffering. I mean, the same thing actually a few years ago happened with Liz Slayton of Doctor Who. She was Sarah Jane Smith, but I mean, of course, you know, the representation issue is not the same. But I'm saying that you shouldn't assume something about somebody because they appear to be able-bodied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone says I have this issue, just believe them and. Mm-hmm. Act accordingly. And he didn't even say anything, so that was, I don't know.
Kelly Preston was another example of that as well.
Yeah.
Had passed away with battling cancer. So just a big hearty fuck cancer here at the top of the show. And that's just such a tremendous loss. I mean, I can't claim to be the person that's there every weekend when a new Marvel movie opens, but at the same time, I do see like how Chadwick Boseman was so important to so many people. And it's just, this is a year. I don't know what else to say. All right. So the difficult transition to also say hello to Techmaster Loki. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine.
Say something funny. We've got to try to change the tone a little bit before we get into games. I know. How about that Animal Crossing stream we did earlier this week? That was a lot of fun, right?
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, I had built that whole thing as like a Jamie and Rob show. I didn't know you would be as into it as you were. I didn't, but it wasn't just you, really. It was, you know, Nellie was in the background. You could hear her and your kid. One of your kids was there, too.
Yes. The two that actually play the game, you know. Most.
We're kind of leading the tour. That stream was a lot of fun, though. I'm glad we did it. If you don't know what we're talking about, we tape this show, Orange Lounge Radio, live every week at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network or VOG Network, Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. But sometimes we do some other things on the network, and this was one of those experimental things. So Thursday night, we did like a special live show, and it was actually like 2 hours we spent playing Animal Crossing and just looking at all the creativity on your guys' islands was really amazing. Dark Soccer, your island is so cool. And
thank you.
And Loki, yours is too, especially when you consider how much your kid contributed to that. Is you know, I kept joking,
well,
like
it's mostly
know.
Nelly.
All right. Well, they said
it's mostly her. Yeah.
Don't sell the kids' contributions.
Thank you for the stuff, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh yeah, no problem.
And thank you for the stuff, because I got the posters and stuff afterwards. Anyway,
I forgot what I was supposed to send Loki, though, or what Nelly wanted.
She wanted the fruit. We got her all up on the fruit.
Okay. We got the fruit, and yeah. Then I don't remember. I know my son wanted like one of those like 3D wallpapers, either the space one or the spaceship one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how easy
okay.
those are.
Those are actually no. Some of them I can make. I can make some of them.
I think the star one is a Celeste pattern. I think.
It is. I have all of the Celeste patterns. So
cool. So anyway,
hold
if
on.
You...
My wife's yelling to me.
Oh, is the wife placing an order? Sorry, it's so funny.
She wanted anyway. The omelet in the skillet.
Oh, all you need to do is make the skillet and customize it.
Oh, you have to make a skillet and customize it? Okay.
Yeah, right. I have pizza in mine because
oh
I have my pizza oven area.
Anyway, if you want to hear 2 hours of this, if you're an Animal Crossing fan, it is in the
we'll
archives.
We'll do this again.
Oh, yeah, we'll do it again. It's in the archives because this now we've shown all our islands. Now we get to show other people's islands and that. So that'll be fun. So anyway.
We'll come visit you live.
Yes, and to clarify, Act Up, that's not my house that we showed off. That was my wife's house. My house is one single room and it has just a bunch of random garbage in there because I don't really play the game. Yeah. That was my wife's house with the interesting basement in it
which I don't think the kids were supposed to see. Anyway, all right, if you want to see that, it is in the archives over at VOG Network. We're not going to be putting it out as a podcast because it just relies so heavily on video. So that is one of getting you could either watch it live when we did it, or if you want to go back in the video archives, subscribers at VOG Network over on Twitch get access to the complete video archive, which would include the Animal Crossing special and any future specials that we do as well. And you can subscribe to VOG Network using your free subscription that you get with Prime Gaming, formerly known as Twitch Prime. You can use your free sub to subscribe right here at VOG Network, or Subtember's coming up, and I think we have a story on it later in the show, and it's going to make subscribing even cheaper if you want to do it that way. We appreciate it. Of course, you don't have to, but that is how you can access the video archive on Twitch if you want to. Check that out. All right, so anyhow, let's get into some gaming news and kick off our show tonight with some talk about Gamescom, because that was a big event that happened this week, even if it didn't happen in person, right, Logie?
Yes, so that was a pretty neat event. They had like kind of their kickoff live stream with Jeff Keighley showing off a bunch of trailers and talking about announcements and things. So some of the stuff they showed off this year, a new trailer for the Jurassic World Evolution now coming to the Switch. There was I don't remember if there's much gameplay, but there was a new trailer for Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, and that's going to be coming out November 13th. They showed the first gameplay of the upcoming expansion for Doom Eternal called The Ancient Gods Part 1. They did a little tease for Surgeon Simulator 2, which is out now, with Doc Brown in there. For some reason, I'm not really sure.
Wait, from like Back to the Future, Doc Brown?
From Back to the Future, yes. So I'm not really sure how that tied into it, but okay,
why not?
Sure.
Why not? But Surgeon Simulator is like a wacky game. Like the
yes.
title makes it
and
sound, oh, Flight Simulator, that's some serious business. A Surgeon Simulator is wacky.
Wait
the
a second.
The second one's even worse, yeah.
Going back to Call of Duty, is it just me or does it look like Robert Redford?
It does, and I was looking. I seriously, I was like, "Is that Robert Redford?" Because it's
down to the hair.
It's absolutely Robert Redford, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's Robert Redford playing that part. But that's why I kept seeing the trailer. I was like, "That is that Robert Redford?" And I even
I actually pulled up a picture of him to make sure. I'm like, oh, maybe
they use like hyper realistic likenesses in those games. That's the same game that all the Ronald Reagan stuff. That's showing
yes.
up on Twitter is from
yes.
right
yeah, yes.
yeah yeah
and yeah and yeah and other celebrities in the past that may not have the greatest history also in those games but yeah it definitely looks like Robert Redford. I would not be surprised if it's Robert Redford. I would think that was something that if that was him that they would kind of call that out, being like, you know, hey, we've got Robert Redford in this. but
because you know later. Gamers love Robert Redford. I know well, if we were to poll our chat and ask like top
do,
three
do
celebrities
love
go
Kevin Spacey because that was a thing. So you know.
Yeah, but look at what we had for Death Stranding. You know, going back to our you know 70s and 80s famous actors. You know,
true. And contemporary, because, yeah. You know, obviously Walking Dead is huge, yeah.
But yeah, Surgeon Simulator 2, though, looks like a lot of fun. It's co-op this time, and there's a lot of, like, running around and doing things and severing arms and stuff to, get to other rooms and things. It looks really crazy, so that'll be fun. Too bad it's not VR, but soon, probably, at some point. They showed some behind the scenes of the new Dragon Age game. It was really just a bunch of like concept art, so I have no idea what the heck this game's going to look like. But
fan art is already out.
Why don't you defer
to
Jamie?
People have already done fan art.
There's a new Sam & Max VR game that they've were teasing, so I'm all about that. As you can see by my background, they did a trailer for the new World of Warcraft expansion, Shadowlands, which looks like World of Warcraft. And I'm not really a fan of that series, so I'm sure it's important to somebody. They talked a little bit about Crash 4 with some of the gameplay elements for that. They showed off a trailer for Little Nightmares 2, which looks pretty darn creepy. Showed a little bit more of the VR gameplay from Star Wars Squadrons. They have a Star Wars themed expansion for The Sims 4.
That looks pretty cool. Did you watch the trailer?
I missed the trailer for that one, unfortunately.
It might be enough to get me back into Sims 4.
It looked pretty cool. I saw a little bit of it because I almost gave that a story slot tonight, but then realized we'd be talking about it twice. But yeah, I looked at it. It looks cool.
They showed off a new trailer for Mafia: The Definitive Edition, which looks pretty cool. I never played the original games, but I hear they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. Lego Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga, which looks pretty nice. I have never really played the Lego Star Wars games, but I played all the other ones, so why not? They show Fall Guys Season 2, kind of a sneak peek of what the new courses and themes are going to be. It's all medieval themed, so they have new costumes and courses based around that. New VR Medal of Honor game from Respawn, Medal of Honor Above and Beyond, which looks pretty cool. Destiny Beyond Light. I mean, I'm surprised that Destiny 2 is still going.
Well, it's making that huge shift to free to play, and there's other big shifts that are coming with the game. I already own it. I mean, so like the free to play doesn't really change things, but I am kind of curious to check it out again. I know the free to play transitions have been somewhat controversial, like the archiving of the old content's a little weird. I am curious to check out the game again in its current state. I don't play a lot of shooters. But I did enjoy Destiny, you know, and what's interesting, do you guys remember pre-pandemic, and it was probably January of 2019 here at OLR Studios, we had all the Women of Ingress, the mobile phone game I played. Maybe it was 2018. Mm-hmm. It was a while ago. We had all those gals here in studio, right, that all play Ingress mobile. Okay. Like a ton of them now play Destiny 2. Well, they still play Ingress, but they play Destiny 2. And they've been trying to get me to play with them, except they play Destiny 2 on Xbox. And I don't have it on Xbox.
Well, can't you play crossplay, though, with like other systems? Like the very least, the PC version?
I think there is that, but we have the Game Pass version coming out soon anyway. So that's what I'm going to just wait for, is when Destiny 2 is on Game Pass, and then I can play with them. And they can carry me, because they're probably all super high levels and stuff. So I just thought it was interesting that Destiny 2 was the game they all got sucked into in their spare time.
Yeah. Some other neat trailers that they had. They showed off a new trailer for 12 Minutes, which was that kind of, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a weird, like a drama type game where you're going to be attacked or something by some intruders. But they've got a lot of, it's like a time loop game, but they've got a really cool cast in it. So Daisy Ridley, James McAvoy, and William Dafoe. So awesome. That looks cool. And then they showed off some new trailers for Outriders, which looks interesting. Spellbreak, Age of Empires 3, Definitive Edition, Godfall, which the more they show of that, I just really don't care. WWE Battlegrounds. Why with the big head mode? Like you can do an arcade game like NBA Jam or something like that without everybody having giant heads. It looks weird. So yeah, that was pretty much it.
So what did you think overall of it?
No, no, it was nothing like huge and exciting. There's like, I mean, there were some like interesting announcements, but it wasn't like blowing my, you know, blowing me away. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, you know, cool VR, Sam Max, and then the rest I could just kind of do without. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just like, whatever for VR. I was a little excited to see some of the prelims for Dragon Age 4, but that's really about it for me.
It's very like underwhelming, I think. They didn't really have like some really huge announcements. I'm assuming that a lot of the whereas we would have gotten probably a lot more announcements from the big three during one of these types of events, but being that we're in like pandemic mode here, that everybody's been doing their own like digital events and they've been announcing everything there, so I think this is kind of like the leftover scraps, which is fine because there's a lot of like other companies that can, you know, show off their games that might not necessarily, you know, be highlighted in one of those. It was okay, I guess. I know they were streaming like for 3 days, like showing different things, but I didn't catch any of the other footage. So like, I couldn't tell you if there was any, I don't think there was any other announcements, but I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little, it was both kind of like a bad thing and a good thing that like there was nothing like Sony or Microsoft like kind of first party in those, because obviously they want to do their own things, and both those companies are probably feeling the pressure of they're going to have to announce that date and price pretty darn soon here.
They're already doing pre-orders. I mean, or they're starting pre-orders in these systems already. So it's like,
well, are you talking about the Sony thing? Because that's like it's a pre-order. Because pre-orders aren't enough anymore, Loki. No. In the year 2020, we have pre-orders, which literally is you're entering a raffle to get the opportunity to pre-order a PlayStation 5. You know, as much as I'm being a SaaS master on this whole thing, I actually kind of get it, because I think what they're doing is really trying to go the extra mile to prevent scalpers. And from that viewpoint, I'm actually very appreciative. So
I think they're just going to build hype is what I'm thinking they're trying to do. I don't think it's scalpers necessarily.
It could be part of that, but what it is having that effect that it's going to be a lot harder for scalpers to get them. And for that, I'm thankful. Bar none. But yeah, it's kind of like, where is the freaking price and date? Now we're starting to get into that whole, okay, we've been giving them plenty of time, but time's like, if these things are releasing in November,
we got a budget, people. So the rumor is, I'm just making sure we don't have said rumor in our story. So the rumor is that they're going to start pre-orders on the PlayStation 5 on September 9th, because it's the anniversary of the original PlayStation is the rumor. So I guess we only have a, you know, couple more weeks to see if that's true or not.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be, by the time OLR is back, because we won't be here next week. We'll talk a little more about that in a minute. But it'll be after September 9th. So
I got to see
the
price too. Like, because, you know, there's people, I mean, obviously there's nothing really substantiated yet, but like, there's like talk that some of these systems are going to be over $1,000. Like, nope. not happening.
She-Hulk 10 in chat, says delayed 2021 COVID. You know, you're certainly not the first to say that. And I think there was a big Kotaku article that was written up on the subject about, you know what, should they just wait till next year at this point? And I know, and I should have just invited him back to sit with us again on the show, but my buddy Delvin, VG Realness, had brought this up in one of our chats, is that I just, like, just fucking delay him to next year already. Like, this year is shit. Just let it go down the drain, and let's just try to focus on making next year bigger, and that would include the consoles. Just put them out next year at this point. And I have to kind of admit, points were made. Like, I don't know if I'm super into, like, I need to have these consoles this year. When this year started, I definitely thought that, but just with everything that we've all been through this year, I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I kind of think I'm only going to end up getting one or the other this year, and I'm going to wait till next year for the
other. I just play Animal Crossing, so.
Which is fine, too.
Who has the best launch games? Because, you know, that's really what it comes down to. And now, you know, other rumors out there about other enhancements coming, you know, maybe I get one of those, so I can actually have a console to play on.
Yeah.
My family isn't monopolizing. But, yeah, I don't know. I was both are kind of expensive, like, right now, I think. But because I'm not taking my family out every weekend, I can kind of afford it now. So I guess it'll be fine.
Let me ask an impromptu question of our chat room, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. I want to hear specifically your guys' voices on this. What would be your reaction if next week it hits the media, Sony and Microsoft both just coincidentally back-to-back, same day, whatever, they both announce, due to the pandemic, due to, you know, whatever they say, we're going to push back these releases to 2021. We're going to push back the release of both these systems to, let's say, March 2021. They're going to try to still squeeze in the same fiscal year. How would you feel? Just kind of throwing that out there. I'm really curious to hear how the chatters might feel. Would you be relieved? Because it's like, oh, I've got more time to... Would you feel a little sad because you were really hoping? Like, oh, I needed something to look forward to during all this, and now it's being delayed. Like, I'm really curious. Okay, so looking in chat, you guys are quick. She-Hulk says, sad, but better to do it right than fast and broken. Insert that famous line about a good game is, or a bad game is bad forever, and the whole thing, right? Bobby Blackwell says, I'd be fine. S200 Matt says, I'd be fine. Pixel Paca says, I wouldn't mind. DJ Rama S says, doesn't bother me. So I'm hearing, you know, that's only five people in chat, but still, I'm hearing a resounding, eh. Like, that kind of seems to be the verdict.
Come out and that's, eh. You know, that's all I need, Cyberpunk, so it's all good.
But Cyberpunk's going to be on the current gen, so it doesn't, like,
that one. Well, it's also going to be on the other one, and I'm getting on PC, so, you know, it's fine. Okay. I have that regardless of whatever they put out. So the rest is gravy, I guess.
Bobby Blackwell says, don't you dare delay a Nintendo Direct 1 minute longer. Consoles can wait. Nintendo Directs must be right now. Okay, Fifth Dream. I'm glad someone went against the grain here. Fifth Dream says, I'd be mad. My job is tenuous right now. Ironically, I will have it probably until COVID's over. So I need them now so I can buy PlayStation 5 before my job poofs, LOL. So maybe one of those, like, it actually works out in my budget. And everybody's financial situation is different. But it works better for me to budget the money to get it now as opposed to budgeting the money to get it later. Which isn't one you hear often. But again, your financial situation, not mine. Everybody's is different. So... anyway, thank you for indulging me there with the question there, because I'm just kind of curious. I'm kind of curious if that would be, you know, our listener is one subset of gamers. I'm kind of curious what the general reaction on Twitter would be if that and social media. I mean, Twitter to represent all social media. What the representation would be if they announced that, because I feel like there are a lot of people that would be like, oh, this sucks. But at the same time, I also kind of feel like that might be the easy comment to make. But there would be a lot of people that would just be like, eh, what? Tell me something else, right? Hell, we already, it slipped my mind while I was going over this, but we've already had one console slip their launch into 2021 in television, Amico. I realize that probably isn't on people's radar in the same way that PS5 and Xbox Series X are, but some people are looking forward to that. It's a different audience, and that slipped to next year. And I think, you know, I'm somebody that pre-ordered an Intellivision, and I was also one of the people that went, eh, am I surprised? Not really. Sad, but understandable. And that's that. So, all right, anyhow. Let's see. DJ Rama S says, not to sound like a downer, but let me be real with you. 2020 kind of broke me mentally. So if the next-gen consoles were canceled, I'd be a bit upset about it, only because I understand why. That bit would have been me really wanting it. No, I totally get it. I totally get it. And sorry to hear about that. But I mean, like, the good news for this earth, and I hope this doesn't sound like I'm trying to lessen what you said, because I'm absolutely not doing that. But a lot of us are feeling like, what else is going to happen in 2020? So vent, my friend, because you are in good company. I guess that's kind of my point. Bobby Blackwolf says, the Commodore 64 releases in November. The full-size version of that releases in November. That's your new console for 2020. And PodCulture says, I wish Amazon would restock the TurboGrafx-16 Mini. I didn't realize that was running low. I mean, maybe that's just because I got one early, but...
So one funny thing, though, like I recently picked up a NES Mini because Nintendo's selling the refurbished ones for less than what they were retailing for before. So you don't have to buy them at scalper prices, and they're in stock.
Hmm. Okay. That's good. We don't like scalpers.
$49.99.
All right. All right. Well, I think that's all we'll say about Gamescom for now. It was, you know, it's nice to get some updates, and especially, you know, even if the big players weren't there, there's a lot of other companies that make games work. So it was cool to get some updates from them. So, all right. Let's move on to our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
A little bit uneventful. I was playing Animal Crossing and Wordscapes. Wordscapes is, I actually, because I, believe it or not, I beat the other word game that I was playing. All 1,500 levels of it. So Wordscapes is a little bit harder. It's got a bigger dictionary to it, so I'm enjoying it a bit more. I'm also playing Words with Friends. I really have just been, because I have so much going on, because I had a doctor's visit, and I had to get my eyes checked, and I had so much going on this last week. Also, next week is my anniversary. So, Dan and I have been married for 15 years. So, we're probably going to, you know, just stay and play classic games all day and eat sushi. We'll see.
Well, congratulations on that landmark. It's a big number.
Thank you. We were supposed to be in New Orleans.
I know.
Oops.
But 2020. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Whoop-dee shit, 2020.
All right. Well, if that's it for your gaming week, let's talk to Loki. How was your gaming week?
So my gaming week was pretty uneventful. I played a few things, a little bit of Animal Crossing because of the live stream. I played a little bit of, Zelda Breath of the Wild because my son kept wanting me to help him with different things. And Orna, pretty much. The rest was just kind of messing around with game dev stuff. Not really getting very far, but
yeah. I saw that little screenshot on your Twitter. What was that all about?
Yeah, that's just without context. Sorry.
Okay. All right. If you're going to be like that. All right. All right. Let me talk about my gaming week. So been playing a lot of the same old stuff. Final Fantasy 14. Y'all saw the Animal Crossing thing earlier this week. I've also been playing Pokemon Go, but I'll talk a little more about that with one of our news items coming up later. I played some other stuff too. So speaking of Pokemon, I actually, since I still use the Pokeball Plus and with Pokemon Shield, Sword and Shield, of course, but I have Shield. So with Pokemon Shield, you can transfer a Pokemon into the ball, although you're not really you're not losing it from your party or anything. You put a Pokemon in your Pokeball Plus, and then you can go out and catch Pokemon with it, and you get rewards in the main game. Well, I had put some Pokemon in there like a month ago, and I'd been playing Pokemon Go like Go Fest, Community Day, all this stuff. And I finally synced my Pokemon back over to Pokemon Shield. Apparently, I had collected about 10,000 Pokemon in the time. That's how long it had been since I had loaded the file back over. So when it gave me rewards, it gave me 97 rare candy. If you don't know what a rare candy does, you instantly gain one level on your Pokemon. So if you're catching Pokemon at level 60, you give it 39 candy and it's level 99. You know, so it's like, that was a lot of rare candy. I got 97 rare candies. So anyway, long story short, I decided maybe I need to like pick up Pokemon Shield again because I beat the game. I beat it when it came out, which, you know, again, I'd never beaten a mainline Pokemon game before. We talked about that then, but I didn't get through the post game. Because every Pokemon game has the after you become the champion and beat the Elite Four or whatever the game's equivalent is, now you have to go catch to Legendary from the box art. And so that's what I did. And earlier today, earlier today, I beat the endgame component of Pokemon Shield and caught my Zamzetta. So hooray! So I did that. So now I'm ready maybe for the DLC. But I kind of need to flesh out my Pokedex still, I think. But that was fun to revisit Pokemon Shield because I hadn't played it in literally months. It's still a great Pokemon game. And then another new game. Let's shift gears a little bit here because this is a big change. So I picked this one up on a PlayStation sale. And it was one of those games that I've heard a lot about. And I think from some of you guys in chat have actually been kind of nudging me towards this game. So I picked up a game on the recent PlayStation sale called Telling Lies is the name of the game. So Telling Lies is from the same creators and like creative minds behind Her Story, which was out, what, like 3 or 4 years ago. And a lot of the game is based in full motion video. In fact, I almost feel a little weird calling this a game at the end of the day. It's a game. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to get into the whole, you know, because some people try to dismiss walking simulators. Something like Dear Esther? Some people try to write that off.
What was it? Something about the Rapture?
Yeah. Oh, everybody's gone to the Rapture.
Yeah.
Some people try to write off those walking simulators as not games. They're games.
Those are beautiful.
But I would say that Telling Lies was a little more adjacent to like the Bandersnatch episode of Black Mirror on Netflix, and that kind of game where it's not so much like push X as fast as you can or solve this puzzle, but it's kind of like a different way of exploring a story. And I really enjoyed it. But the biggest like so let me talk about the strengths, because there's a lot of strengths. I want to, if I, when I get in the negative, I'm going to make it sound like, oh my God, I'm slamming on this game. I'm really not. The positives are the acting performances in this game are really good. There's four main characters in the game. There's one man and three women. And one of the women looked really familiar to me. I think she's Storm now in the X-Men series. She's in this. And the guy didn't look familiar to me at all, but he is really good in this game. And in fact, all the acting is really top notch. Because what's interesting, this game probably could have been made in the 90s when full motion video games like Night Trap were getting started. But like the production value and the acting in a lot of those early games were not great, right? But now in this, like, this is like you're watching a Netflix show, but you're also like participating in it. So here's the mechanic. Basically, you're playing like a character that is watching surveillance footage, and you're going through surveillance footage. And the game starts so that the very first thing you search for is the word love. So you will get the first 5 video clips, because search limits are maxed at 5, that have the word love in them. And you watch the clip. And then maybe the character will say something and you're like, I want to know more about that. Maybe, okay, so this character just mentioned somebody named Ava. Who's Ava? I'm going to search for Ava. Now I'll get 5 conversations where Ava is mentioned, first word chronologically. And that is basically the game. You're choosing a path based on what you want to hear more about. And it gets very clever because there are lots of different things you could be exploring. There are several storylines embedded in the game. And it's actually just what it must have taken to write a game like this is really brilliant. And so I absolutely think it's something worth your time. Jamie, I think you'd like this. I don't know why, but I just think like this is the type of thing. I think maybe because it is just so much like a narrative and so like story driven, where you're not like, there's not like a lot of pressure on you to do. Like, I just feel like it's something you might really enjoy too.
So, well, I'll be sure to check it out. Just link me so I don't forget.
Yeah, no worries. So, and I'm curious if any of you in chat have played it. Telling Lies. Okay, so let me tell you the one like negative I have. Because it is something that is presented on the PlayStation 4. This game is also out on PC. It was out there first, and those computing platforms. I believe it's on mobile phone, iOS, Android. It was there last year as well. It just came out for PS4, Switch, maybe Xbox, probably Xbox.
I'm going to be getting it on Steam.
Yeah, it just came out on all of that a couple like weeks ago. It's actually a couple months ago. But anyway, my biggest problem was my game brain took over. And my game brain said, there's a clock up here, and this clock is advancing. It's getting later. I only have so much time to get through all this stuff. So I was too tempted to fast forward clips and not really watch them and just scan for the language in the clips. And I think I robbed myself of an experience by doing that. So I want to make, I'm going to tell you one kind of spoilery thing, but I'm telling you this, I'm going to intentionally say this because trust me, this is something you're going to want to know. You can't lose the game. That's the spoiler. You can't lose. Now that you know that, you cannot make the same mistake I did and turn your game brain off and enjoy the story for what it is. And I think you'll have a better experience. So that was that's my one criticism. With as brilliant as this game is, I wish it almost hadn't been presented like the game it was, because it made me think, I got to get through this fast or it's going to be game over. And that's totally not the case with this at all. So, all right. Let's see. Comments in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Hi, Stella. Shad Starzik's in chat talking about Walking Sims. I don't think I've played a Walking Sim that hasn't been fantastic. No, true. Like, they're all really good. Fifth Dream says, is this the game with Angela Serafian? And I hope I said that right. In it, I admit I bought the game just for her. I'm sorry. I don't know who their names. I don't know the actors and actresses' names, but they are really good. Chat is confirming yes. Fifth Dream says, yes, it's a bit crazy, but it's a cool concept. She-Hulk says, yes, it's fun. I like it so far. And Bobby Blackwolf confirming, yes, it's on Xbox One. So anyway, that was my experience with Telling Lies. I really liked it. I think the story is so smart in this context that they had to think of all these different ways that you could navigate it. It's really impressive. Anyway, so I give a big thumbs up to Telling Lies. I'm curious to see what else we get that might be like this. Not that I want every game to copy this format, but I love the idea of, so I mentioned, like, okay, it's not like a game like you might think most games are, with like action elements and push X to not die and things like that. Like, it isn't a game like that. But we've had these things lately, like the Bandersnatch episode of Black Mirror. We've had this now, and of course her story before that. And we've had other things that are more like, it's almost like it's less of a game and more of a interactive storytelling, a new medium to tell, using gamification to tell your story. I'd say that's what it really is. It's gamification to tell a story. And I think it's really neat, and I'm so curious to see what else comes of it, because yeah, I loved Telling Lies. So there you go. Questbuster says, technology is finally caught up with what CD-ROMs attempted to do in the 90s, right? Honestly, there's no reason this game could not have existed in the late 90s, except for, I think they say there's like, they shot hundreds of hours of footage for the game, and there's, I think, at least 10 hours in it. And that would be the one thing that would prevent it from existing in 1990 is storage mediums. You would, what CD-ROMs could hold, how much video could a CD-ROM hold? Like 34 minutes, something like that? It wasn't a lot. So that's the one thing. So, all right. Anyhow, that's my gaming week. Sorry, I talked a lot about that game, but that happens sometimes. All right, let's get into some other news. Oh, wait, before we do that, let me do some quick housekeeping, actually. So we will not be here live next week. We will not be here live with Orange Lounge Radio next week because it is Labor Day.
I'll be undead.
Well, it's also Labor Day weekend. We haven't done a show over Labor Day weekend for the past 8 years. Normally, that's because I'm not here. I'm at Dragon Con. And that's only partially true this year. Obviously, with the pandemic, I'm not flying out to Atlanta to go to Dragon Con in person, because they're not having Dragon Con in person this year. They're having it virtually. So I'm going to be participating with the virtual Dragon Con event. And I want to invite you guys to participate along, because you can actually, you don't have to have a ticket to do a lot of the Dragon Con stuff this year. They actually are running three different feeds. The official con is hosting feeds on Vimeo. Or I think there's an app available on Roku if you use that, and you can watch several different Dragon Con dedicated channels all weekend, and that's pretty cool. But also some of the different fan tracks. So what makes Dragon Con unique is that it's like, it's almost like 20 different fan conventions happening all at once, and that's what makes it really cool. So one of the tracks that I've participated with for years and years, back since it was called the podcasting track, is the digital media track, because now it's not just podcasting, but Twitch, YouTube, and all the other ways that people create content. They're going to be streaming their panels all weekend long on Twitch. It's going to be virtual panels. So you'll want to check out DC Digital Media on Twitch. We'll be hosting it here at Vogue Network, of course. So you can just come to the usual place and you'll see it there too. I'm going to be participating in three different panels over the weekend. Friday at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, I'm going to be on a panel about networking and building a podcast network and why should you join a podcast network, or why might you not want to join a podcast network, because there's some cons as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and some things I've learned from my different experience of the three different networks I've been with over the years. So we'll talk about that at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern on Friday. On September 5th, video didn't kill the radio star. Bobby Blackwolf, myself, I believe we got Rochelle from formerly of Electric Sisterhood, but now the show Black Compat is going to be joining us. This is great because usually we don't get her at Dragon Con, but thanks to everything being virtual, she's going to join us for this. I'm really excited about that. And I believe Bill Run Jump Stomp is going to be joining us for that panel as well. And I hope I'm not forgetting anyone, Bobby. I think it's just the four of us, but I might be leaving somebody out unintentionally. But we are going to be talking about taking your podcast in an audio format and taking it to video, which is something we all have experience doing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and very excited for that panel. We did it last year, and we were kind of surprised at how many people showed up, so it was really cool. So we're going to do it again this year in a virtual format, so that's really exciting. So stay tuned for that on September 5th. And then September 6th, Sunday at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, I'm going to be doing a panel called Educating and Entertaining Online. And it's basically a panel of educators, and talking about making that conversion to, online in this whole pandemic. Educators really went through it. A lot of us, though, were able to use some of our knowledge we've gotten from broadcasting to be able to kind of help that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. You might be like, Rob, why are you on that panel? Believe it or not, my day job, I'm not a high school teacher or an elementary school teacher. Other people on the panel are. I create training in a corporate environment is the short story of what I do that actually pays my bills. So I do have experience in teaching of a different sort in a corporate environment. So I'll be lending that perspective to the panel. So that is all on Sunday, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. And that is all, of course, on Twitch. So we will not be here with Orange Lounge Radio while Virtual Dragon Con is going on. And it's just a long weekend. And we imagine many of you are going to be doing things. Although, of course, don't forget, there's a pandemic going on, so if you are out doing things, wear the mask, social distance, y'all know the drill. But I imagine there's still a lot of people that are going to go to a beach or go camping or do some of the outdoorsy things that have become very popular this year in light of the pandemic. So have fun, but be safe, of course. So, all right, that's it for my gaming week. So let's move on and get into some gaming news for tonight. So Loki, why don't you start us off?
All right, so let's talk about more wrap-ups of different digital events. So Nintendo did another one of their directs that was covering our partners or their partner showcase. So it's all the third-party games. So some of the stuff they showed off there: Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, which is coming November 13th. They're going to have an 8-player free-for-all local co-op mode, which is kind of cool. They showed off some new tracks and artists for Fuser, which is pretty exciting. I can't wait to play that. Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythmic Adventure 1 and Rhythmic Adventure 2 coming this winter as a combo pack. Apparently, World of Tanks Blitz is coming to the Switch as well, or is on the Switch now. They have a collection of the Saga Final Fantasy Legend. It's going to be bringing Game Boy Classic versions of those, I guess, this December. Just Dance 2021, and this is the first version that is not going to be on the Wii. So it was a long run, but
rest in peace,
my
friend.
Is over, unfortunately. So now it's on the Switch. That's coming out November 12th. Puyo Puyo Tetris 2. is going to be expanding with some new modes in December 8th.
That was kind of a surprise. I'm kind of surprised Puyo Puyo Tetris is, I'll go back through some of these when you finish the recap. Sorry.
Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Editions coming, or it already came out, I guess. So that was earlier this week. Mm-hmm. And then they talked a little bit about the Minecraft Dungeons Winter DLC, which is coming next month. And it's more expansions for other games like Captain Tsubasa and Jump Force Deluxe Edition.
Gotcha. So focusing on a couple of those announcements. Well, there was a lot of music game announcements. Did you notice that? Obviously, as a longtime music game fan, I was like, wow, there's like all these music games showing up. The Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, which essentially is Kingdom Hearts Theatrhythm. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I feel about that game. Like, I want to get it because I love Theatrhythm, but I'm worried it's going to be like, did they tell us the price? They didn't tell us the price, did they? I'm worried it's going to be too much money and the music isn't going to be worth it. I'm not sure the Kingdom Hearts franchise has music. Yeah, yes, there are some songs. Like, I know everybody's going to say, but what about like Utada and that stuff? Yeah, there's some great songs, but I just don't know if there's a whole game's worth.
There were all the songs from the under the sea level from the Little Mermaid stuff. We had to sing all the songs with it.
Yeah.
There were all, I mean, the soundtracks for them actually were really amazing. I would anticipate that just about any of those levels that had special music for them would have been incorporated.
Yeah, I mean,
so quite a bit.
And Let It Go was in the trailer, so I'm sure there's a strong Disney presence. Well, you know, yes, I wince too, but that indicates there is a strong Disney presence.
Well, that's not necessarily what I'm referring to as well. I mean, the music in the game itself is fairly memorable.
If Amazon is to be believed, it's $60.
See, that might be a bit high for me. I might wait for a sale. We'll see. I'll wait and see what the reaction is when the game comes out. But I am a little more excited about Fuser. It looks really cool because I did like Drop Mix. So that was cool to see. And I thought the Taiko game looked really cute too. And I think that game already exists in Japan, if I'm not mistaken. So it's kind of cool that we're getting it packaged as a combo here, getting to check that out. So that's cool. And then, of course, Just Dance, you know, it's kind of it's a standard at this point. But that was four music game updates in a Nintendo Direct. So that was pretty cool. Then I was talking about Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 kind of coming out of nowhere. That really surprised me because I kind of thought that conversation with Tetris had shifted to, well, Tetris Effect, obviously. And then on the Nintendo side, Tetris 99. And I kind of thought Puyo Puyo Tetris would be a one-off. And that's not me saying anything negative. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I'm just surprised that they felt the need to do a sequel. But maybe the first one sold much better than expected. And
how many different systems was it on? It was on quite a few.
That's true. It was on quite a few. So, now of course I kind of giggle when they talk about, the story, there's an all new story. I'm like, what story? They don't play those games for the story, but okay. But I think it's cool. And Darksoccer, you're a fan of that game too. So is the news of a sequel kind of surprise you, or are you pumped for that, or?
I'm vaguely indifferent about it right now. Just because I'm actually kind of going back to playing a few different puzzle games as much as I love Puyo Puyo, mm-hmm. I did not really enjoy it combined with Tetris.
Mm. Fair enough.
If I'm going to play a Puyo Puyo, it's going to be Puyo Puyo. So.
Bobby Blackwolf is confirming that this new game will be multi-platform as well. So, cool. All right. Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about some changes to Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go, of course, is a game that I spend a little bit of my spare time playing, and I know a lot of you do as well. And Pokemon Go finally brought Mega Evolutions to the game this week. I say finally, but I mean, when the game first launched, I would have never expected that these would make their way into the game. But they are here now. They've launched Mega Evolutions of Venusaur, Charizard, there's two, X and Y, Blastoise, and Beedrill. There's a quest line in the game that will get you the energy to do Beedrill, and then you can Mega Evolve the others by doing a lot of raids. They introduced this currency called Mega Energy into the game, and you get Mega Energy when you do raids, but long story short, I don't think the raids are worth the bang for the buck. You have to do you have to be good and do four of these raids. You're probably going to have to do more of like five or six Venusaur raids, just that, to get enough energy to Mega Evolve Venusaur one time for 4 hours. After that, the cost of it will go down to Mega Evolve it, but it's still kind of like one of those, what's the reason to do it besides a short little boost in gym battles and to be a completionist in the Pokédex? And I think the prospect 4 years into the game to catch a Venusaur, which is an evolution of one of the first Pokemon that was in the game, like six times from a raid, I just don't see the incentive there. So Niantic needs to rework this system. Now, the good news is a lot of people have expressed their concerns, to put it that way. And Niantic has responded. They responded on Reddit and they wrote a tweet that's basically like, we hear your concerns about Mega Evolutions and we're looking into what we can do. So that doesn't mean it's going to change tomorrow, but it's nice to hear that they recognize there's an issue and they need to look at it. I would fix it by not having Mega Energy be per species. That is silly. Just have it be out of one bank, Mega Energy. And you should be able to get Mega Energy from other things as well. You should be able to get Mega Energy from doing quests, Mega Energy from hatching eggs, and doing other things besides just the raiding. I think even if it's just a little bit, I think it would make it a little more exciting. And so that's my concern with the Mega Raid. ActDeft in chat says, Megas are here and most people are not liking it with good reason. Four at the minimum, but most likely it'll be at least five. My gripe with this is, what are Megas good for right now? They're almost useless. That's another good point. You transform them for 4 hours. I did do a Mega Raid where somebody brought – we were fighting a Venusaur, so somebody brought a boosted or Mega Charizard into the fight. And what happens is that the Charizard, just being there, boosts everybody's fire attacks. So it makes it that you need less people to get it down, or you get it down faster. So that is the perk at the end of the day. And I imagine for those that really like to solo raids, it'll probably make getting some of those 3 stars a lot more soloable if you use them. Shane in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I cannot get into the way they've done Mega Evolution. I've kind of stopped playing the game because it just sits so wrong with me. I don't know if I would write off the whole game because of it, because, like, for example, I don't care for the Battle League. I want nothing to do with it. I don't like that there's rewards tied to it, but I just don't play it. The one nice thing about Go is that there's a lot of other things you can do. You can still go out and catch Pokemon. You can look for shinies. You can hatch eggs. You can try to take gyms. You can explore new gyms. I still feel like there's a lot of other stuff to do in the game, but I think the weekly events that they were doing, like the Enigma Week and the Unova Week and some of that stuff was way more exciting than Mega Evolutions have been. So hopefully Niantic takes a chance to re-examine this whole thing, because I'm not super into it. But at least there's other stuff that makes it interesting. There is that. So, all right. Well, let's move on. We're going to go to our next story from Dark Sakura, and you guys will have to excuse me. I'm going to step away for just a moment.
So, other stuff then. Well, this one, I'll admit, I've got some cautious hopefulness about this one. And honestly, I wouldn't have really given this a lot of attention if it wasn't for Shane, who is in our chat right now. And that's about another Kickstarter for, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Ayuden Chronicles. And actually, after watching the trailer, it actually sounds... Ayuden, thank you. It actually sounds like it's going to be a pretty neat game here. I mean, to the point that I'm actually considering putting some money down on it myself. It's a JRPG. It actually hit its initial funding of $50,000 for Rabbit and Bear Studios. They've added a bunch of stretch goals on it. And it's going to have basically a lot of characters, very like Suikoden. And it looks like the they've got involved in this is Moriyama Yoshitaka. They're 2D characters combined with 3D environments. Very similar to Octopath Traveler, but it is now number 3. In the biggest video game Kickstarters in history. So the only two that have topped it number 2 is Shenmue 3. Number 3 was Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. And I have to say, I'm looking at it with some hope. So I'm considering putting some down on it as well. Maybe I'm not going to go for all the crazy stretch goals, but who knows? I think that, wait. I just had an FYI in the chat by Shane here saying, yeah, the closing stream was great and the guests were awesome. Plus Akira Yamaoka was there and you can never go wrong with him. Agreed. And who knows? I mean, maybe we'll have some of his music in there, which would definitely mean I would have to have this. So, yeah, I mean, 4.5 million over that amount in crowdfunding. That's pretty amazing. A lot of people are excited about it. And so we'll see how it comes. I'm actually fairly hopeful.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I guess it ended yesterday. So,
oh, did it? Well, silly. I'll just buy one. Help.
It looks pretty cool. Like, definitely getting the, the art style is pretty awesome. So I do see the comparison between this and Octopath Traveler, especially just like the traversal of like the town stuff looks very much like Octopath, although the battle system is completely different and a lot more cinematic. That looks pretty cool.
I do like the character designs. I mean, there's definitely some cosplayable people in there.
So, yeah, I'm very interested to see what this looks like once it comes out, but not going to be for a while. It's not supposed to come out until October 2022. So
it is what it is.
I will probably have forgotten about this game by the time it actually makes its way out.
Don't worry, Shane will remind you.
I'm sure he will.
I'm back. Yeah, and I will be reminding you because I actually backed the project. So I did it at a very small level where I'm just getting the digital game, but I'm into it enough to want to play it. So
there's a little bit more too. Because of the funding, they will have localization for Korean, Brazilian, Portuguese, and Russian languages. So
nice. Hey, more people that get to play it then. Did you guys read any of the chat comments while I was out?
Well, yeah, most of them were Shane.
Okay, yeah, that's why I just want to make sure, because you know he has something to say about it, so I just want to make sure they got read. But he follows it so closely that I know there's a lot of good updates, too.
It was because of him that I had this update.
I don't even read the emails that the campaign sends. I'm just like, oh, Shane will tell me about it when we play 14 tonight. So, he mentions in chat, though, and he just posted this, so I know you didn't get to this one yet. The vampire vote didn't go his way. I wanted the David Bowie one, and he lost by just a handful of votes. Oh, I kind of wanted the David Bowie one, too. So, and I didn't vote, so I'm part of the problem. When you don't vote, you don't get what you want. Remember that.
Yep.
So
this is why we get vampires that don't look like David Bowie.
This is why we get a lot of problems. But anyway, yes, this being a non-serious one, yes. Shane is also pointing out there's also a side game coming out for it. It's a farming style game that will come out before the main game comes out. That's kind of funny too. I just thought it was something they were building into the main game. It's kind of like how Bloodstained Curse of the Moon had that whole like 8-bit game that preceded it that ended up getting the sequel. Now we've got like a farming game instead of like an 8-bit RPG or something. I thought that was kind of cool.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking forward to playing the finished game in what, like 3 years? No, I think they're saying 2022. So it'll be a little while. All right. Yeah. Meanwhile, Loki, what do you got for us?
All right. So let's see. Let's talk a little bit about Halo. And so, as you may remember, the last time they showed off Halo Infinite, there was some people that didn't necessarily like the way it looked and thought that it might be not really fulfilling the promises that Microsoft had made about like a next-gen Halo game. And so because of that, of course, Halo Infinite's been pushed back to 2021. And to help hopefully get Halo back on track, they've added some Halo veterans to the development of the game to be able to get that where it needs to be. So apparently one of the main writers of the early Halo games at Bungie was working on a different project, but now has been brought to be a leader of the game as well. And that's Joseph Staten. So hopefully with good writing, you know, that will help. But more of the visuals, I think, that we noticed. I mean, I don't know what the quality of the writing was in Halo Infinite, but I know the visuals are a little bit rough.
We wouldn't know. Like, we've only seen, like, a little bit of it. So that's another concern about the game. I kind of think the conversation on visuals was overblown. I understand some of the concerns people have and so forth. I still thought it looked fine, but I get that there was pop-in and, you know, the other things that other people have already pointed out.
It's not necessarily that. It was just, like, it wasn't very detailed. But, like, I get it. Art styles are one thing and stuff. But and as long as the game plays well, I guess it doesn't really matter. But
right.
I mean, I don't know, like sometimes, especially like if they're planning to do like a battle royale type mode with this, they may have simplified the graphics a bit because you're going to have, you know, maybe 100 or so players on the field at one time. And so maybe that was the reasoning behind it. But sometimes you would think with campaign, you would maybe up that a little bit. I don't know. That could be a possibility why they did it that way. But
they're
we'll see.
Only pushing it back to early 2021, right? They didn't push it all the way back to holiday 2021, right? So my mind is kind of like, what all can they really fix with only that much time? Yes, maybe some graphical fidelity and things like that, trying to get a little more oomph out of it. Fine. Turning up the graphics on level 3.
Yeah.
But the writing? If that that means the voiceovers? That means the animations that go with that's a concern.
Well, here's the thing too. Like here. So like, I know like Bungie, or it's not even Bungie anymore, but like, you know, the folks behind the Halo series have made some pretty great games. But that being said, the folks behind Mass Effect made some pretty great games, and then Anthem comes out and it was kind of like, not great. And
Andromeda had some serious issues too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like all great companies can fall. And so I kind of am a little worried. Mm-hmm. And that's why we just this day and age, even like, you know, Square Enix and Eidos or whatever, putting out different games, like, you know, the upcoming Avengers game. Originally on paper, it sounds great. But then you see like the end product and it's like it just gets marred by like executive decisions and stuff. And so we just have to wait and see. We have to play it cautiously, especially if we're dropping, you know, allegedly almost $1,000 on these systems. We just have to play it cautiously of these games coming out. So I'm going to wait and see.
Well, it's funny you should bring all that up. So on a similar note, moving to our next story, you brought up Square Enix in that. And of course, Square Enix just released this week a pretty highly anticipated remaster of Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Well, it's not being very well received by critics. And if social media is any indication, fans are feeling some sort of way about it as well. And a lot of the problems just have to do with, it sounds like, some of the choices they made for online play. This game really kind of shits the bed when it comes to online play. basically, that you're unlocking things in other people's dungeons. So whoever's dungeon you're doing, you're unlocking stuff in their dungeon. But yet, as I understand it, certain story flags may still get set off in your own story. So if you do a certain dungeon with a friend, you might set off something in your own story that basically ruins a major plot point in the game for you before you've even begun to really play the game. So it sounds like just the whole online situation is not good. And you have to use friend codes and all this stuff, which is interesting because I was like, why are they still hooked on friend codes? And then I remembered, didn't they first try to reboot Crystal Chronicles on the Wii and it never happened? And now all this time later, we're getting it finally on the Switch.
I thought they did like a Wii and DS version of Crystal Chronicles, or was that the original Crystal Chronicles?
The original was Game Boy Advance and GameCube.
So no, maybe I'm thinking of Chocobo Mystery Dungeon or something like that.
No, they were supposed to do Crystal Chronicles on Wii and they never did. And so this thing has kind of been worked on ever since then. It sounds like it's not, it just sounds like for the amount of time we've been waiting for this, it didn't deliver. And that's very disappointing, to put it lightly. Now, I'm going off hearsay. So if you've been playing the game and you've been loving it and you want to say something nice about it, by all means, please speak up in our chat room or send us an email over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. it's just all the reaction I've been seeing is that it's not doing very well. I don't know about sales, but I mean, it's just not being received very well. And the critic scores certainly are indicating that, that's for sure. It should be said, though, on the plus side, it does have a pretty robust light edition demo, and that's pretty cool and something we didn't have really before. So there is that. So you want to say yay to some things that worked right. So Shane in chat says, if you're going to give it a shot, do not play it on mobile. I tried that last night. Yeah, I remember hearing the controls were really difficult on mobile, which is almost always the case when a game that was built with a gamepad in mind transitions to mobile. That transition is very often not great. Games that are designed for mobile do very well on mobile. But games that are not, that are kind of shoehorned into mobile, don't always go so smoothly. So, Anyway, maybe this is one of those things I'll pick up when there's a sale, but I was really bummed out to hear like a lot of the crap this game's getting. It's that's a bummer. Anyway, ActDeft in chat says, confirms there wasn't a Crystal Chronicles for Wii nor later. Chocobo Mystery Dungeon was what you might have been thinking about on the Wii. I swear I could probably find it too, because I have crap that goes all the way back to E3 2006. I almost feel like it was in one of the early teasers for the Wii in 2006 was Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, and they didn't get around to it. So,
no, they did have a game though. It was Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles: The Crystal Bearers. I think
you're right.
Was that
was
also
a spinoff
in the
game? Yeah, and Shane says there was one about a king on the Wii, right? Yeah, I think it was that whole thing. So, all right. Anyway, let's move on. We have more stories to get to, and our classic game of the week is just ahead. But first, Dark Sakura.
Well, there has been, of course, what's the word I'm thinking of? Charged air in regards to anything having to do with civil unrest. And Ubisoft has actually promised to pull an image that was used in one of their Tom Clancy games. That was accused of promoting alt-right Black Lives Matter conspiracy theories. They used the raised fist image, you know, the image in, I guess people on the podcast didn't see it, but the raised fist image in their intro video for Elite Squad, which is sort of an all-star action RPG on their mobile devices, kind of Fortnite style. It was developed by Owliant, which is a Paris-based studio. They normally do horse breeding games. But the intro shows a civil unrest with a group called Umbra, quote, a faceless organization that wants to build a new world order, that is a terrorist organization. And they were using that symbol as I guess, their symbol, which, of course, is completely tone deaf, number one, and really is sending the wrong message for the use of that symbol for gamers everywhere. It really is insensitive, and it's very good that they took it down. And for those who are in chat, I will gladly post the image so that people can see what the one in question is. But yeah, it's ridiculously insensitive, and they need to, if they haven't pulled it down already, it needs to be down now. So
there was actually a comment, and actually I think some of this is already linked on our Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord. You can join our Discord server and chat with us throughout the week. And Dungeon Buster in Discord actually linked to a tweet that was written by Brendan Gibbons. And Brendan Gibbons is a game and narrative designer for hire. So I believe Brendan worked on this title and wrote this tweet that said, angry about the use of the Black Power fist here. I worked on the character bios and was informed that Umbra is supposed to be a James Bond villain organization, not something that looks like, not something that looks like what the Q conspiracy people think is happening. Irresponsibly bad optics. that tweet is very – thank you for sharing that on our Discord, Dungeon Buster, because that tweet is very interesting when you hear one of the assumed writers – again, I'm sorry, I don't have all the details on what this gentleman did for the game and what they contributed. But to hear that, like, they thought they were doing one thing and what translated into the visuals wasn't a match. Like, that's really crazy to hear. Because when I looked at the video, and I'm trying to look at the video, like, that's kind of the first time I saw it, was that tweet and everything. And I'm looking at the video, and I'm going, this doesn't look like a James Bond organization at all. And when I looked at the video, I'm like, yeah, it this is bad optics. This does look a little too close to stuff that's going on in the real world. So it's, yeah, it was, yikes. Anyway. Let's see. ActDef says, a co-host and I were talking about this on GFM Cast, and he explained to me that the rioters shown in the game are controlled by a terrorist group. But yeah, it doesn't excuse them from doing that. You know, still, this is a trailer that promotes your game, and think about what, you know, what are you really promoting in that? So, yikes. Anyway, glad they're at least gonna fix it for what it's worth. All right, moving on. Loki.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about mods and console mods. So there are some pretty cool portable Wii mods this week. So one of those being from Ginger of Mods, who basically fit a Wii system into the size of like almost like an original Game Boy Color. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. Using... basically, they have to hack up the original Wii motherboard and cut off a bunch of the circuits from that. And then it's also using a 240p display and parts from the DS and also from a Switch controller and even a GameCube controller. So very convoluted, but it is pretty cool, the results from that. However, though, if you're looking for to do this yourself and you want to spend the money to do that, and you have a spare Wii and all the other stuff, you can actually go to, there's a website, store.bitbuilt.net, and they have something called the G-Boy, and it's a DIY portable kit, so it'll save you the time of having to develop your own shell and everything for that. So it comes with the case, the display, and some of the other charging circuitry as well. You'll just need to supply the battery, micro SD card, D-pads, and ABXY buttons, which are found on a DS. And, of course, you know, the Wii console itself. But then they have the instructions on how to build it. And I actually watched one of the YouTubers I watch, Linus Tech Tips, they actually built one. And it looks definitely advanced. There's lots of soldering, obviously. And you have to also be very careful with cutting that circuit board, the main motherboard of the Wii. But the results look pretty cool. Like, if I had the time and skills, I would love to build one.
Yeah, it looked pretty neat from what I was seeing, too, is that, yeah, it's a pretty slick-looking thing, but definitely not something I would want to attempt on my own.
Yeah, so, but yeah, if you're interested, like I said, check out that BitBuilt website. They've got a lot of stuff that you can, I think they even have other portable kits as well, so check it out.
All right. Well, let's move on to talk about this old rumor is back, upgrades for the Nintendo Switch in 2021. So we've had this rumor circulating a couple times now that Nintendo plans to do like a Switch Pro or some type of upgraded Switch model. So, you know, why are we talking about it again? Well, this time the rumor is coming from Bloomberg, which is more of an investor type of publication and not somebody's like game blog. Or social media or what have you. So that's why this one is gaining a little more traction around the internet than the others, because it's coming from more the investor side of things. Bloomberg did say in a recent report that the successor basically to the Nintendo Switch, the next Switch, we obviously don't have a name for it, is due in 2021. It is called a upgraded model of its Switch console. So it's not supposed to be something where like it'll be a whole new system. It's just some type of like Switch upgrade. Also saying that Nintendo has looked into including more computing power and 4K high-definition graphics. That takes a lot of people by surprise to hear 4K graphics, because Nintendo kind of tends to show up later to the graphics and all that stuff party. So to hear that Nintendo's thinking about 4K already seems to be a little bit surprising. Of course, we have no idea if this means, does that mean 4K portable or just 4K when it's docked?
I would imagine docked.
Yeah, I would imagine docked only as well, but we don't know. Like, that's just, you know, our logical brains trying to tell us what we think is going to happen. But we don't know until Nintendo actually announces. There was a similar story as well in a Taiwan economic magazine, Taiwan Economic Daily News. So yeah, that's where they're at. It was pointed out that the time between the 3DS and the 3DS or the new 3DS was a similar time frame. So this getting an upgrade would not be completely surprising. And I think some of us are kind of expecting it anyway. I just hope it doesn't kind of like splinter the Switch's base too much. I think the biggest problem with the new 3DS is that I was never really convinced I needed one. There wasn't really a good reason for it.
There's a handful of games that you needed it.
Two or three games that needed it, and the Super Nintendo, which I remember I threw a fit about because I'm like, why can't the freaking, you know? But anyway, that's old freaking news at this point. But I'm very curious, like, what is really going to justify this new Switch? And I hope it doesn't splinter things up too much. But if it's one of those things where it's like, okay, docked, it will do 4K on Mario. But if you have an old Switch, then it just kind of plays in 1080 instead or whatever, 720 even, like an old Switch, then I don't think that might be too big a deal. But we'll see. I mean, I have no idea what Nintendo has in store because, again, this is all a rumor. It's a little bit of a surprise there. SSG100 Matt says, Bloomberg cited sources from within Nintendo that gave this info. I would imagine if Bloomberg is citing sources, they must be more reliable than your standard Reddit user post. Very good. ActDev says, I need a performance mode for the Switch. I want my Overwatch at 60 frames a second. That's a good call. That's something that perhaps a pro Switch could do. And of course, Overwatch 2 is something that's on the horizon eventually, right? Maybe in a similar time frame. Who knows? Shane points out in chat, or Shad Starzik says, the best things about the new 3DS were the nub stick and the head tracking for 3D. Yes, those were very impressive features. And when I finally did get around to buying one, when they put out that Metroid one that I really wanted, I liked those features too, but I'm not even sure it was worth it if you already owned a 3DS to get just that. But they were, I mean, it was a nice upgrade. I'm not going to lie either. Tiger Claw in chat says, here's the thing. If you get this new Switch, you're going to have to rebuy all the games you purchased digitally. Really good call out from Tiger Claw. If there is not an easy way to transfer digital licenses, I might be very hesitant to buy one. But
I thought they brought that into play when they had they just put out the Switch Lite or whatever, the Switch. What's the
yes.
one that's now the
you're right the Switch okay. Lite, Jamie.
Switch Lite.
Well, aren't your purchases also tied to your Nintendo account?
They are, and I was going to point out that we need to remember with the 3DS, since we brought that up, the 3DS, the new 3DS, I remember transferring my ambassador license. You remember that? For the really early 3DS adopters? I transferred that twice because I moved it from my original 3DS to my Zelda 3DS. I moved it from my Zelda 3DS to my Microsoft one. So you were able to move digital things.
Microsoft one.
I'm sorry, Metroid 1. What is wrong with my brain today? So I actually know I had a migraine most of the day. But anyway, moving it to the Metroid 1. You were able to move those digital licenses. You could do it between Wii and Wii U as well. So
yeah, but your licenses should follow your My Nintendo account. Or your Nintendo
they
Online
absolutely
account.
Should. But sometimes...
And I think that's what they do for the Switch.
Yeah. And DJ Roma S says ambassador's account. Yeah, that's because, do you remember when the 3DS first came out, I don't remember what the problem was. If it wasn't selling well, I don't think they had a lot of great software. But anyway, they ended up doing this thing where they were like, if you buy a 3DS, you're going to be an ambassador and you get like, it was like 10 Game Boy Advance games for Virtual Console and like 10 Game Boys. So you got all these like classic from the Nintendo library games that only the ambassadors ever got. Like there was a WarioWare in there, I think.
Well, here's what's confusing me about what you're saying is that you're having a new system shouldn't matter about the games that you own. It's the system, the licenses shouldn't be tied to the system. They're tied to your ID, so you can have another ID with the game, another system with your ID on it.
You're right. It shouldn't. But I do know when I did those other processes, it wasn't as simple as connecting to the store and re-downloading everything with my login. It didn't work that way. You actually had to copy everything from the old system, and it would move everything off of the old system completely and on the new system. And I think it's one of those things about Nintendo that really ticks people off about the way they do some of the online stuff is that like the license is kind of like your ID and your console. So
that's very silly.
Yeah. So I agree. And I think it's one of those things that Nintendo ought to address if they are going to convince people to upgrade to a Switch Pro. So, yeah. All right.
I mean, at least they have like, certain things like the cloud saving for Animal Crossing and whatnot that you can at least keep your games going over.
Yeah. Well, now they do, but it wasn't, that wasn't even there when it was
that was going to be available. They just had to incorporate it into the game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, true. All right. Well, let's travel back to a more classic time. Let's go back to an era before there was cloud saves and before we had all these different pro consoles and so forth. It's the classic game of the week. And every week here on Orange Lounge Radio, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault to find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this game out. And wow, Jamie, yet again, we have a pick here where I'm like, we're on episode 834 of this program. You've been doing this segment since episode 250 because there were some prior things. There used to be like website of the week, or there's some other things before we kind of landed on this, which is a great fit. And I'm stunned sometimes at some of the games that I see you, like you'll send me your pick and I'm like, how have we not done that in like 600 episodes? How?
I have that thought myself.
I know. It's crazy. And tonight is definitely one of those nights where I'm like, how has this never been a classic game? But and that's not a negative. It just means we cover so much good stuff here, right?
Right. We have a ton that we've done. And I'm a little bit disappointed in myself for not having done this earlier, but better late than never.
You've done some other games.
I've done others in the series.
Yes, you definitely have, but just never this one, and that just surprised me. But that's okay. We're gonna fix that tonight, right?
C'est la vie.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
The game of the week is Street Fighter II: The World Warrior. Of course, many of us have just known it as Street Fighter II. It is a fighting game developed by Capcom. It was originally released in arcades in 1991, and it is the second in the series, the very first being Street Fighter, that came out in 1987, that was not as happy about it. It was the 14th title to use the CP System arcade board, and it improved so much over the first game, including the special command moves, six button configuration, and adding better, more interesting characters with their own fighting style and a combo system. So this actually became the best-selling title of, probably since the Golden Age. 1994, the game had been played by over 25 million people in the U.S. alone at home and in arcades. There have been updated versions since then, different variants on it. Because remember, before we had that Valve couldn't count to three, before it was Capcom couldn't count to three. So going into the game, basically you have your different fighters. We had, just a few coming over from the original Street Fighter. And so your goal is to deplete the vitality bar of the other player by getting hits on them until they have no vitality left. If you do it at the same time, or you have an equal amount of life at the end of the match, then you get a double KO or a draw. You can get, you know, additional rounds if you have tied too many times. So, you know, so at any rate, if you could actually make a match last up to 10 rounds if there was no clear winner. But when Champion Edition came out, it was reduced to 4. And if there's no clear winner by the end of the final round, then the computer opponent, if you're playing versus the computer, will win by default, or both will lose in the two-player match. So after every third match in single-player mode, you will have a bonus stage. Oh my car! Which was originally, oh my god, but they changed it, of course, in the U.S. The bonus round will have, in order, a car-breaking event that's very similar to the bonus rounds in Final Fight, the barrel-breaking bonus game, which I kind of hated, and then the drum-breaking bonus game, which I hated even more. I liked beating up the car. Between the matches, you have a Pacific-centered world map that shows you where each of the home stages are, so you are traveling the world. You have an 8-directional joystick and 6 attack buttons. You know, I don't really need to go into explanation on actually how it plays, but to go through the original characters, you had Ryu, you had Ken, you had Edmund Honda, you had Guile, or people who couldn't pronounce Guile called him Guile, which was stupid, and those people
I heard
cry.
Giel.
Yeah, I hate. I like. Can you not read? Anyway, there was Chun-Li, there was Blanca, Zangief, and Dalsim. And you had your CPU exclusive characters, and I will be going by the Japanese names. You had Balrog, who in the U.S. was Vega, a Spanish bullfighter. You had M. Bison after Mike Tyson, who was called, they switched him to Balrog in the U.S. You had Sagat, who is the Muay Thai fighter, and then Vega in Japan was called M. Bison here, which and so, of course, there was all kinds of just craziness that came out of this, different rumors and things that even made it into magazines as April Fool's jokes. I actually still have an issue of EGM somewhere. One of Ryu's quotes was, "You must defeat Shenlong to stand a chance," which was supposed to be translated, "You can't win if you can't beat my dragon punch." But they thought there was a character named Shenlong in the game, and this led to a big hoax, and EGM played on it. And then there are two characters at the intro who were named Scott Max. So at any rate, you know, they've gone, and the game really spawned stories and all kinds of crazy stuff. But the fun thing about this combo system, because this is one of the earliest games to actually have a combo system, and so many people worked on it, and the original developers didn't really prioritize the balance of the game, and they really put more of its properties in, like, how well animated it was, and how they could make it look, and how the characters would be able to... the characters actually took up different size. Like, Ryu was an 8 megabit and Zangief was 12 megabit, and the game took 2 years to develop. But about the car stage, and this is a quote from Hunamizu Noritaka, who said that they saw the punch timing and it was possible to add a second hit and so on, so they made, from a little bug maybe, they added in that combo system. And of course, most of the music was composed by Shinomura Yoko. And she actually left Capcom for Square 2 years later. But I mean, of course, we know she's done a lot of great work for Capcom in the past. I mean, just different things that she's worked on, you know, Final Fight, Gargoyle's Quest, you know, she's worked on Poppin' Music, Rob?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, but we've also had her for Nemo, just all kinds of games. She's done some really great stuff. And as I recall, she did, I think, my favorite music in Kingdom Hearts. I believe that she did the Tron music. She actually did a lot of music in Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, wow.
Kingdom Hearts 2, sorry. So as far as different ports out of this game, and I'm not talking about like the various special editions and whatnot, championship edition, you name it. There was the Super Famicom version that was re-released for Wii and Wii U Virtual Console. That was in 1992. Also in 1992, we had Amiga, Atari ST. Those came on floppy disk. Commodore 64, Rob. On cassette or floppy disk, Amstrad CPC, ZX Spectrum, PC DOS on three disks. Ooh. 1994, there was a CPS changer. There was 1995 on Game Boy, 1997, Sega Master System, 98, Sega Saturn, and PlayStation, with the Saturn version being greater because it did 2D better. 2004 came out on mobile. 2005, PlayStation 2, Xbox, PSP. 28, PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, Windows, as part of the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. The Super Nintendo one had some big changes made to it with its release. They removed the attract sequence. Some of the voice samples were, of course, had to be reduced. You could not necessarily get a lot out of the character vocalizations, but depending on their strength level, they went higher in pitch. I don't know if you ever knew that. The tunes in the soundtrack were also rearranged. There were just like some different attacks that were removed, like Chun-Li's standing medium punch. Two of the elephants from Dalsim stage. So yeah, it was really downscaled quite a bit, but it was still a really good game. And this, you know, the arcade version of this game got some amazing ratings from it. It was probably one of the higher ranked games that released at this time. Of course, been popular worldwide. And now we're up to like freaking Street Fighter V.
Yep.
But for our different versions of Street Fighter 2 that were released, we had Street Fighter 2 The World Warrior, we had Special Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter 2 The New Challengers, and then there was Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, Ultra Street Fighter 2. We've just had so many. And like I said, the joke was, can Capcom count to three? No. But, I mean, it also has had such a big impact on just pop culture in general. The game has been sampled so many times for its music. Even Nicki Minaj sampled, or actually referenced the game. Lil B, bunch of different folks.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj's single was called Chun-Li, so that was...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good song.
You know, but... Who sampled list 80 songs that have sampled Street Fighter 2, including Kanye, Jay-Z, Drake, all kinds of folks. And then there's also a British grindle band called Hadouken. And I mean, it's just like, I'm even just looking at the references page for all this, and it's almost as long as the article itself.
It was such a huge piece of pop culture. Like, you know, I, you know, you and I are a similar age, and I just remember how much this game dominated, you know, the early high school / like late junior high kind of years. Like, this was in every arcade. It was, you know, it was just like the game. And, you know, when it came out for Super Nintendo, because it came out there first before Genesis, it was a huge deal. Like, it was a huge deal when this came out on Super Nintendo. Everybody was looking forward to it. It sold, I'm sure, Cuckoo Bananas crazy. They ended up doing Super Street Fighter, Turbo Street Fighter, all on the Super Nintendo as well. It's so, so well done.
Well, and the other things about it, apart from other things that it spawned, is there have been other expansions to it. And in fact, the Street Fighter 2 characters became part of the G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero line in 1993 because Hasbro bought the rights to the characters. There was an unofficial South Korean animation called Street Fighter that had the Street Fighter 2. And then there was a movie in Hong Kong called Future Cops that was another, you know, rename of that. There were other adaptions for film. There was Street Fighter II, the animated movie. There was the live action one with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Kylie Minogue and Raul Julia, which I happen to have seen four times in the theater because of reasons. And then there was also the U.S. Street Fighter cartoon, which was terrible. Street Fighter II V, the prequel series that was sort of, I guess, not quite Street Fighter Alpha. There was actually there was for Street Fighter IV, there was even an animation that came out with that game. And then, of course, who can forget the Street Fighter sequence in City Cop? Was it City Cop? Yeah. Am
Loki,
I right?
You're
the
muted.
Jackie Chan movie?
Trying to say something.
City Hunter.
City Hunter. Because I was thinking of the anime, and for the life of me, I could not remember the name of it, because I've watched a bunch of City Hunter.
Yes, the anime was awesome, and then, of course, the live-action movie is also awesome, and that Street Fighter sequence is really great.
That sequence is, like, the memorable thing, and seeing, you know, Jackie Chan as Chun-Li was absolutely hilarious. But yeah, you know, this game has been embedded into our pop culture. Even if you're not a gamer, you know what the hell Street Fighter 2 is. So, I mean, and thankfully it's not the old whack-a-mole. They opted not to use the whack-a-mole style, you know, game that the original Street Fighter was for a bit. So, there you go.
Let me ask you this crazy question. You know, this obviously was a game that came after, you know, it's Street Fighter 2 for a reason. There was a Street Fighter 1 that I don't think was quite ingrained into popular culture. And what's interesting is that Street Fighter 2 barely references the original Street Fighter. Like you said early on, most of the characters aren't here. You know, characters like Birdie and stuff, that they're never
referenced. But they came back for Street Fighter Alpha.
What's that? Oh, yeah, they came later.
Yeah, like Gen and all of those. But they were really expanded upon. You know, I think that they had to step away from how the initial game went. And like I said, that whack-a-mole thing was stupid, okay? I mean, I get the concept behind it. It's novel. But that's no way to play a game. And it's going to, you know, basically mean that arcade owners are going to have to replace their machines or their buttons and keep doing all kinds of other maintenance on it. But in the long run, though, when going to a full joystick and button style, that's better for arcade operators, especially since it's using a particular system. You know, and then even with the later ones going into the CPS2 system, you have your ROM cartridges that you can replace and keep using that same system for multiple games. So it really was an innovation just in terms of gaming itself.
Yeah, I think also just like I think what it brought to the arcades, the player versus player element, that I think a lot of games, I mean, certainly that existed in other games, but like that was the core of this game. And I think there was something about that really lended itself to the popularity of this game and really paved the way for so many games that either tried to copy it or just were inspired by it. I would say Mortal Kombat being the most obvious example. Obviously, Mortal Kombat's its own thing. I'm not saying that it's trying to bite off of Street Fighter, but it wouldn't exist if it weren't for Street Fighter.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, there it is, your classic game of the week. It's one of those it's about time type of selections.
Right?
But you know what? No, I mean, like I said earlier, we just sometimes we're highlighting so many other games. So many games have been made over the years. We finally got around to Street Fighter II tonight. Great pick. Appreciate that. All right, let's move on. We've got some more news to get into, and then we're going to take some comments from our chat room as we get to the listener roundtable a little later in the show. But let's get to some rapid-fire news and talk about some other things that are going on in the industry right now.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the games that are going to be coming to PlayStation Plus next month, or I should even say in a couple days. So speaking of Street Fighter, we're going to be getting Street Fighter V, which is going to be arriving tomorrow on September 1st. And also PUBG is going to be the other free game as well. So pretty cool. And then also there's some updates regarding Marvel Avengers, and I can't say that they're good updates. It's talking about their Battle Pass system and cosmetics and all that stuff. So like a lot of the popular games nowadays, they're doing this kind of like season pass type of, well, it's not necessarily a season pass. I guess sort of like the skill tree that you would see in like Fortnite or in Fall Guys, for example, where you have to unlock things in order to unlock each of the cosmetics in there. Well, to be able to do that, you have to purchase a challenge, a hero challenge card, which is going to be 1,000 credits or $10. And that's per hero that you want to unlock that stuff. Now, they say that at the end of it, though, you do earn your 1,000 credits back, but that's after you grind through everything in order to unlock all of that, which I'm guessing is probably going to be quite a slog. Aside from that, they're going to also have, you know, of course, the credit packs that they're selling, that they're going to be selling different items that are going to rotate on a weekly basis. I don't know. I don't need... When you have like a huge article, and this is even coming from Square Enix, discussing how the monetization is going to work.
We'll take your money here. We'll take your money there. We'll take your money anywhere we can get it.
We don't even know like how good this game is going to be. And it doesn't seem like a lot of people are very impressed with it so far. So why are we getting into the monetization? I mean, they did keep saying that it's optional and it's just cosmetic, but no, I'm not. This just turns me off of this game even more, but
it's a concern. We should be getting more, yeah, you know, on the great features in the game and reasons why we're going to enjoy it. It seems a little tacky to be talking about, here's how we're going to take all your money. Like I understand, like, and I will say, I'm glad they are talking about it up front. I'm glad they're getting ahead of, because, you know, if this was all kind of exposed when the game was released.
They're not doing it for our benefit. They're doing it to try to save face.
Yes,
what they're
yes,
doing.
Exactly, exactly. But I'm glad we're getting it now and not later, I guess, as a result. So, all right. Other rapid fire things. Spotify is trying to amp up their esports offerings. They're doing a partnership with Riot Games. And so now Riot will be working with Spotify, I guess, exclusively when it comes to League of Legends, including a new League of Legends related podcast and esports. So there's no launch date for when the podcast will kick off yet, but it is something that they are working on for this year. There's also going to be some type of official hub in Spotify that will have gaming music, podcasts, and playlists, including the official League of Legends and This Is League of Legends playlist. And, you know, I have to say that, and by the way, this is nothing new for Spotify. They've been really trying to amp up the representation of podcasts on there. You can subscribe to OLR there if you want, as well as many other great podcasts. But they are, you know, one of the big shows they just got recently, Michelle Obama, just launched a podcast on Spotify. And I don't endorse celebrity podcasts very often because I'm very much, and even when I'm reading this, I'm like, I bet there's a lot of fan-run League of Legends podcasts that are worth your time. You don't have to do the official one. But I will say, if there's any celebrity podcast I'm going to endorse, the Michelle Obama one is really good. I mean, she's just such a good speaker anyway. Everybody was talking about her speech, you know, at the DNC and so forth, and she's just so... so well spoken that it lends itself. It's kind of like when she had a podcast. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm surprised it took this long. I mean, I'm surprised we had to wait this long for this. So that was a great land in Spotify's world. The one other thing I will say, though, with this whole League of Legends talk and Spotify, though, I can't believe we had that whole article and whole discussion and not a word about KDA. Because I don't know if y'all have heard that new KDA song, but it's fire. It's fire. It's so good.
There's a new one?
Yeah, The Baddest. Check it out. It's really good. And it's that same kind of like K-pop and American pop fusion that Pop Stars was. And they are going to be doing an EP at some point this year. I think they've changed some of the singers. I think some folks were maybe brought into Pop Stars thinking it was just going to be a one-song thing. So they've changed the lineup a little bit. But, you know, it's like the Pussycat Dolls, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it was Nicole Scherzinger and whoever else was there, right? Destiny's Child. It was. Does anyone remember when Destiny's Child was four people? Anyway, it was Beyonce and her friends. All right, moving on. Let's talk about.
And her mom dressing everybody.
All right. One other rapid fire thing I want to talk about. Twitch September is coming back. No talk about any restaurant chain partnering with this. However, September is coming back. September 1st at 10 a.m. Eastern, you're going to be able to get some savings on channel subscriptions. 20% off the first month of a new subscription, 25% off a three-month subscription, 30% off a six-month subscription. So, you know, if you have some channels that you're wanting to support, and you know, there's so many great content creators out there. Like, I'd be dumb not to try to put a cheap plug for ourselves, but I'm sure there are many great content creators on Twitch that you're watching, and September is going to be a great time to stock up on that if you want to do that. Even though there will be a discount for you to sign up for these subs, the streamer themselves will still get the same share of the pie. So Twitch is absorbing that discount, which is a great thing. They aren't trying to force their discount on the streamer like their Grubhub, okay, or one of those services. Anyway, so that's pretty cool. So you can bet we're going to try to push subs come September, because it'll be a little cheaper. But please support all your favorite content creators. There's many great ones out there, including one that just showed up in our chat room, Black Compat. I urge you to follow our pals formerly of Electric Sisterhood on their new venture over there. And I know there are many other folks as well that are streaming in this day and age. DJ Rama S, I'm sure, would love it if you would follow Anime Jam Session. And we would love that, too, because they are our friends here at the Voice of Geeks Network. So, anyway, let's move on. Other rapid-fire news from Dark Sakura.
Yeah, and it's very sad, but Sega has confirmed the end of Sega Ages. However, they're going to be doing more stuff for Switch and revisiting past titles. But it was confirmed in Game Watch from Okunari Yosuke, basically said that there's no future plan for sorry, my husband brought me food, any other games in the future. The last one they did was Herzog's Vi, but you know, they said there's more stuff from M2 that might be coming out. And then also, Streets of Rage 4 is getting some new content, but we don't know when. They're not telling us. They just said, yeah, it's happening. You'll find out eventually. Suck on it. Not really. Look forward to it.
Marinate in Streets of Rage 4 as it is, which is a solid, like, as far as like throwback titles go, for better or for worse, Streets of Rage is a throwback title. It's all the great things about 90s arcade beat 'em ups and all the things that feel a little stale about them in the year 2020 as well. But you know what? I think it's a great throwback.
Streets of Rage was Yuzo Koshiro.
No, of course I know that. Oh yeah. And the music's fire. Of course, is one of the best reasons to check it out. So, yeah. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some releases coming out this week. So we'll start in the US with Loki.
All right, so this week we've got a few things. So starting off with RA and the Secret of Seasons on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Not to be confused with Ori and the whatever. Yes.
No, not to be confused with that. Crusader Kings 3 on PC, Mac, and Linux. Iron Harvest on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. MX vs. ATV All Out on Nintendo Switch. Spellbreak on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Tell Me Why Chapter 2 on PC and Xbox One. WRC 9 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Doraemon Story of Seasons on PlayStation 4. Marvel's Avengers on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. NBA 2K21 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And World's End Club on iOS. That's it.
All right, let's talk about Japan. So some of the releases in Japan this week. Slay the Spire gets a localized release in Japan this week on September 3rd for Nintendo Switch. And then also coming out in Japan, NBA 2K21. It's coming out there as well. I guess it gets a world release of sorts. And Minecraft Dungeons gets a release on the Switch in Japan this week. So they're catching up a little bit on some of the things that we've had here for a bit. So check that out. On the PlayStation 4, we also have some releases. We have Marvel's Avengers gets its Japanese release this week. As well as, I think that might be it actually in Japan this week. I would have thought some of those. Oh, there it is. NBA 2K20. I was like, surely that's there. NBA 2K21 is out in Japan this week as well. And Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 also gets a combined release there in Japan this week. Pretty cool. Dark Sakura, how about the UK? Are you muted, Dark Sakura? Or am I just not
I am
here?
Now.
Okay,
I was. Sorry, I was eating a hot dog because my husband loves me.
I understand.
Yes. He feeds his wife. So anyway, on the 31st, there's a bunch of stuff, by the way. On the 31st, we have MX versus ATV All Out on Switch. We have Crusader Kings 3 for PC, Marvel's Avengers Deluxe Edition, Marvel's Avengers Earth's Mightiest Edition. On September 2nd, we have WRC 9. On the 3rd, this is pretty much everything else that's coming out on the 3rd, Road to Guangdong. Wily Jetman, Astro Monkey's Revenge Sweeper Edition, NBA 2K21, The Sojourn, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, The Persistence Code, Ministry of Broadcast, that just sounds like a cool name, Marvel's Avengers, Minecraft Dungeons, Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning. I'm getting way past that. Those last two were from the 7th. Okay, I'm done.
That's other thing. You know what? We're not here next week, so it's okay. You're giving a sneak peek of what to look forward to in a couple weeks.
All right. Well, then also Ninja Legends on the 10th, Inertial Drift, Holy Potatoes Compendium, and that's all I'm gonna do.
Every potato is holy, in my opinion. All right. Except I'm not as big on sweet potatoes. Gonna be honest. I know it's a big thing for some people, not for me.
I'm a big fan of Purple Mountain Yams.
All right. Let's move on with some more stories, and then we'll get to the listener roundtable. First off, Loki.
All right. So there's a new mobile AR game coming because there's not enough of those. This time it is in the Witcher universe. So it's the Witcher Monster Slayer, and it's, you know, your typical AR game. You're going to be fighting monsters and in the first person. Kind of reminds me a little bit of like that Walking Dead AR game that they had. So I don't know if it's the same company that puts it out, but yeah, it looks okay. I mean, obviously the trailer that they show of it doesn't really show you anything in like literally less than a second of the gameplay there, but I don't know. Yeah, so it's being developed by Spocko, who I have never heard of, but yeah, apparently that is the new hotness in the location gaming space.
We'll see. I mean, some of those games come out like garbage, like Garfield Go. Remember that one? That was a real piece of work.
I do remember that.
Some people were, and I there was a Ghostbusters game that I think kind of came and went pretty quick. A Walking Dead game that kind of came and went real quick. The Jurassic Park one, I played that for a little bit. It was okay. I didn't get super into it, but I know other people did. Like, I know people that will play Pokemon Go and that. See, I kind of found that my limit is 3. And 3 is a lot. And if Pokemon didn't have the Bluetooth, I probably couldn't do 3. But I play Ingress, I play Pokemon Go, and I play Orna. And those are the 3 I can do. I gave up Harry Potter. Harry Potter's gone. But that, you know, I know that's another popular AR game. That's also a Niantic based one, so they've got a really great database of stuff in there. So, all right, we'll see how The Witcher turns out. I think
it's good to check it out.
The thing that makes the Niantic games really, really work is that the populated system of interesting places, that granted is all user made, and I know it has its problems in rural areas, but it's getting better. I think that population or that database of all those cool locations is what really boosts those games. Because then when you look at a game like Jurassic World or whatever, like they're just in random, they're in random places. Everything's in random places. And the one thing I liked about Orna, or still like about Orna, is that you can build your own stuff in the world. And I would like to see more games like that where, like, you're literally building your own stuff that affects other players as well, if you want it to. You can also keep it private so that, like, you're not giving away where your house is, which is a smart thing to do. So,
but I like that, though, like, if you're limited on, you know, where, especially in a pandemic when you're supposed to be staying at home, I do like that you can build things nearby so that you have those resources. But at the same time, there's still things that you have to go out and find. So I like that quite a bit, that they make it simple like that.
All right. So we'll see if The Witcher ends up being on the Harry Potter, pretty decent AR game side of things, Jurassic World, or on the Garfield side of things.
Well, CD Projekt now, they own the majority stake in this company, so they, you know, probably will have quite a bit of influence on it, so hopefully that's a good thing.
They must believe in it. Well, let's talk about the Game Awards for the year 2020, because the Game Awards take place every December. And Darksocker, are you okay? your mute is in the wrong place, because I think we just heard what you didn't want us to hear, and now we don't hear you. You're still muted, my friend.
Sorry, I bumped my mute button as I was burping, and I did it by complete accident, so now I'm a fucking lady, okay? Guess what? Everybody, women burp. We fart. We take big, huge dumps when we have to. We are human. Get over it.
All right. This lesson brought to you by Dark Sagra. All right. Moving on.
See, there is my mute button, and it is obnoxiously easy to hit.
You know, this show has never been nominated for a game award, and I can't possibly imagine why.
Because people have to know who you are in order to be like an influencer.
There is
we
that.
We got an award.
We do not a game award. We got a podcast award in 2004, but we. All right. No, we love the awards that we've won and have been nominated for. I'll never forget that Live 365 award ceremony where they forgot our name, and you can hear it in the recording when they're saying and nominated for Station of the Year, we have da 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 da, and then she starts to open the envelope, and you hear Loki on the official recording in the back of the room. Hey. And she goes, oh, yeah, and Orange Lounge Radio. And it was like, and that was the moment.
Win.
I know. We were like, well, we didn't win, obviously. Guess we'll get another drink.
I won something. I won the speakers.
You won a, yeah, that's right. I'm glad we didn't all go home empty-handed that night.
Oh, yeah, I also got, what was it, an IR remote, a TV remote for my computer for some reason.
I didn't get shit. I didn't get the one thing I remember from that night as well, because we all now that we all kind of have our
drinking a lot,
we all have our own things. So it's very rare. And especially obviously we're in a pandemic. We don't get to do anything together now, but it's rarely that the three of us get to go on a complete adventure together. We went to PAX together that one year. That was a lot of fun. But we all went to the Live 365 Awards in the Bay Area together. And I remember when the car we parked the car, and the first space I wanted I couldn't take because some fucking limo or something it wasn't even a limo, but just a large car had took up three parking spaces. And Dark Sakura goes, give me a post-it. You have post-its in here, right? And I'm like, I have Hello Kitty post-its. And Dark Sakura was like, perfect. And she takes a piece of Hello Kitty stationery post-it and puts, you park like an asshole, and puts it on the car.
I still do that.
But it's just, it wasn't just that you left a note that said you park like an asshole, but you put it on Hello Kitty stationery is what literally drives that home.
Yep.
Anyway, where were we?
I actually do have a Hello Kitty stationery that I keep at my desk. I should just start carrying it with me and do that some more.
All right. Anyhow, excuse me, back to the Game Awards. So a ceremony nobody will be parking at this year because it's going to be all virtual. It's the Game Awards. So 2020 Game Awards is going to be going virtual. Jeff Keighley confirmed this in a recent interview with IGN, saying, quote, what I will say about is this. We have a very interesting plan for the show this year. We're definitely doing it. A lot of people are asking, are you delaying it? The Oscars are being postponed. Are you postponing the Game Awards? We are not. We'll share more in the coming weeks, but it's actually probably going to be our biggest show yet. We're not going to have 10,000 people in a room together, but I think you'll see a little bit of this with how we do Gamescom. We're definitely doing more than just me in a room announcing winners. I'm really passionate about still doing the show live versus something pre-recorded. So yeah, we're working on some scenarios for ways we can present the show live with a bit of a spectacle to people without the public being able to buy tickets to come to the show and things like that this year. You know, and I have to admit, I don't think the show is going to lose that much without having the audience there live. In fact, in some ways, I kind of think that might be a detract from the show right now. So I kind of think when they have to just focus on the nominees, the game announcements, the creators that will undoubtedly be there on Zoom and so forth, I think it could be a very interesting show this year. So we'll see. Some comments from our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Black Compat says, I'm interested to see what will be in the categories this year for the Game Awards. That's true, because they do tend to mix up the categories. Are they going to maybe do something that relates to this whole maybe pandemic situation that we're in? Like, best game to play in 2020 in the state of the world, and it's Jackbox Party Pack Part 6, Jackbox Party Pack Part 5, Jackbox Party Pack Part 4, and so on. Bobby says, it's really just about the game announcements. Now, the good thing is, if they need less money, they can spend more time on the awards. There is that, too. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what this looks like in virtual form. You know, and this kind of came up when we were talking about conventions, and it was really on Bobby's show, because he was kind of talking about missing the in-person conventions, and there was a discussion that was happening in chat about how, you know, some people hoped that maybe the virtual convention idea stays around forever. And I think ultimately we all know, you know, we talk about what is the new normal. What is this world going to look like when we finally get to the other side of COVID? And, you know, some people say, and reasonably so, COVID will probably never go away, but we'll just get it under control. Like measles is a good example. Measles is not eradicated. Measles is still on this planet. But generally, you don't have a problem with measles in the U.S. because most people get vaccinated for it, and we reasonably have that disease under control. Hopefully, that's where we get COVID to. But what does our new normal look like as a result of that? And I know I've said on this show before, I think masks and wearing masks when you're sick, and that I think we're going to see this country, at least certain parts of this country, big cities, because we all know there's people that are pushing back on masks. I'm not going to go there. But I think generally in the big cities, you're going to see us kind of picking up some cultural norms that have been done in Asia for a long time, is that when people are sick and they're on the subway, they're wearing a fucking mask, because people are going to own all these masks now. So, you know, I kind of think that will be around. But also, and to get to the point, I think some of the ways that we've adopted the virtual world, just like it's going to change our corporate jobs, I think many more people are going to work from home now that they've proven they can do it. I think that's going to change the culture significantly. Not everybody. It's not going to affect everybody at every job. But I think there are many organizations that are going to adopt more work at home. But I also think this idea of how do we blend the virtual with the in-person? I think we're going to see a lot of that after this. You know, most people know how to use Zoom in this country after this point, which is a weird thing to think about, but they use Zoom with schools, they use Zooms with work, they use Zoom with meetings, most, and whatever, insert Microsoft Teams, Discord, whatever you're using to video chat with people. That's going to be embedded in our culture. So I kind of feel like whatever virtual form the Game Awards ends up taking this year, there may be a taste of that in future Game Awards, if that makes sense. I've talked for a lot on that, but do my co-hosts have any thoughts on that?
I see it already happening.
How so?
Well, just that because we are looking, you know, you get more people saying, oh, when do I tune into this online? You know, for example, we have a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, people just assuming already that it's not going to be an in-person event. Minds are already leaning that direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm even, you know, just in talking to other people, it's like, oh, I think I have a cold. Let me grab my mask. Mm-hmm. You know, I am seeing that a lot more often. So it's happening.
Yeah. And then some comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. SSG100 Matt says, I can foresee cons and fests offering a digital-only pass where you can see streamed panels from the show, archive things, and some interactive stuff. I can totally see that happening from this point on. It's just a revenue stream that can't be ignored. The only problem is infrastructure due to stream stuff from these events. Yeah, and you know, even DragonCon had the DragonCon TV pass you could buy. I think you had to still, like, they only sold it to people that actually attended DragonCon. Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was a thing. But I feel like maybe after this year, they may kind of have something a little more open with the – I mean, obviously, nothing is going to be able to totally replace that being in the same room, being there and all that. But I think this is really going to make us think about what can we also offer for the people who don't want to or can't. And so I kind of feel like that might get enhanced a little bit moving forward. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Let's move on anyway. I've spent a lot of time on this topic. Let's move on. And Bobby Blackwell says, DragonCon TV never broadcast live on the internet. The on-demand stuff was just repeats, and that's why they only sold it to the people that went anyway. I'm adding that part, and that makes sense. So, and DJ Rama S says, current infrastructure at most hotels and convention centers cannot handle high bandwidths of streaming content. I don't disagree with that, but I think due to all this – I don't think that is going to be an excuse that these convention centers can have much longer. They're going to have to get with the times and get that type of bandwidth. And I understand, easier said than done. You can never totally foresee the amount and so on and so on. But I do feel like this is something that industry is going to struggle with and have to work with as we move back. Anyway, I do want to move on for time's sake, but some great, great comments. Dark Soccer, what do we have next?
Well, there is going to be another adaptation for Resident Evil, but it's another live action series, and it's going to be on Netflix. It was announced that it will be focused on the Wesker kids, so I guess referring to Albert Wesker, who's like, you know, one of the main bad guys. Mm-hmm. And that the first season will have 8 1-hour episodes. It's actually written by one of the writers for Supernatural, Andrew Dabin. And the first two episodes will be directed by Bronwyn Hughes, who did some Walking Dead and Breaking Bad. I don't know how I feel about it, just because I wish that they would go back and do something, you know, more based directly off of the games and not just like these little side stories. I mean, but they have to do what they have to do to make money off of it, I guess. But Resident Evil really is seeing this resurgence with all of the game remakes, so it only, mm-hmm. you know, stands to reason that they would try to, you know, milk that cow a little bit more.
Yeah, and maybe doing the story like this kind of helps the series not get compared to the games. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, they didn't do it that way because they did it in the games. They got it wrong. Like, it's going to kind of avoid that by doing a separate story. So that may be part of it, right?
Yeah, but yeah. But at the same time, I mean, we've got, like, two different continuities now. I'll be perfectly honest, the things that I always enjoyed outside of the games were those CG movies that they did, like Degeneration. Mm-hmm. Those were fun. I mm-hmm. love those. I think the first one of those that I watched was simply because it had Anna Tsuchiya doing the soundtrack in it, and I ended up loving the movie. Mm. I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a lot of hopes. I didn't, you know, watch many of the movies past like a couple of them. So I don't really have a lot of notion, preconceived notion for this one. Although, you know, I love Supernatural. So I like most of the writing for Supernatural. So I am really looking forward to seeing if that same writing prowess, you know, translates over into Resident Evil fairly well. I'm also very sad about this being the last season of Supernatural. I'm a little bitter. A little.
It's had a hell of a run.
They've been
though.
Doing it 15 years. Yeah, they're allowed to retire.
I was going to say. With Resident Evil, though, the Netflix, you know, video game stuff's really been hitting it out of the park recently between The Witcher and Castlevania. So I can see, you know, this subject has come up on the show before, how it seems like there's just like this avalanche of gaming content about to be released because of the success of those things, such as we know there's a Final Fantasy 14 series in the works. There's plenty of other stuff, too, that is just escaping me in the moment. There's lots of stuff that's in the works. And I think Resident Evil is just the first one where it's like, oh, now we're seeing a picture of a script. We're seeing some other details like it's happening like that. You know, this is for real, real now, not just talk.
So. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm going to like just with just about anything these days. I would rather reserve my judgment than be super disappointed.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's move on to our next story, Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Fall Guys, because that is a very popular game nowadays. In fact, it's so popular, it's the most downloaded PlayStation Plus game ever.
Wow. I played a little today and lost on the second level, but I played a little.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of that was because it was, you know, free, obviously, PlayStation Plus and everything. Sure. But it is very popular. And then, of course, you know, with Season 2 right around the corner, I'm sure it's just going to become more popular. Of course, as most popular things are, they are modded into other games. And so because of that, you know, the common games that you would see mods for, like Skyrim, for example, has a Fallout, Fall Guys followers mod that you can get, which is looks hilarious. And then, of course, there's also some Resident Evil 3 mods that allow it's called a Jilly Bean. It turns Jill, Carlos, and Nemesis into beans. It looks pretty silly. So I'm going to have to definitely check out the one for Skyrim.
Yeah, sounds funny. I would like to see, you remember that mod that allows you to like roll 10,000 cabbages down a hill? How about 10,000 Fall Guys?
Oh, 10,000 cabbages. That's not even a mod. That's just a game. Sorry. You can just spawn that stuff in.
I'd like to see 10,000 Fall Guys falling down the hill. That'd be fun.
Sounds good.
All right. Lastly, before we get to wrapping things up tonight, Bobby Blackwolf, are you out there? Are you paying attention? Because I've got a story for you. And this is going to definitely be a game of the year contender for you. Okay, there's a little bit of an inside joke here that has really been beaten into the ground over the past few years. But how about one more inside joke for Ni No Kuni? Because Ni No Kuni, they just announced this week, is going to be getting an MMO. It's called Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds. And I feel like the story may be Bobby Blackwolf inspired because, wait till you hear this. In the game, now, Ni No Kuni explores, like, the link between worlds. That's what this is about. But in this game, you are going to be a VR game beta tester. That's right. VR is part of the plot. You paying attention, Bobby?
I've already lost interest.
But in this game, you just... Well, the game itself isn't VR, but it's part of the story. So you are playing the role of a VR game beta tester, and you discover the world of the VR game is real. That's right. It's kind of
.hack.
It's kind of .hack like that. I was just about to say that. So anyway, it's only been confirmed for Japanese iOS and Android phones, but I'm sure our pal Bobby would appreciate it if you would start your hashtag campaigns to ensure that we get an English and localized release for this game as well. No exact date or anything like that, but I mean, it looks pretty. I only think it's kind of disappointing because I'm like, wow, this is so pretty. I'd want to play it on a console. But okay, the mobile phones get to have good things once in a while. And again, if it's designed for mobile phones, it might not be such a bad mobile phone game. Games that are designed with the phone in mind tend to do all right. So I'm curious. We will see. Anyway.
Rob.
What's that?
Rob. There are really beautiful people who are garbage inside their hearts. It looking
that
pretty
is
not an indication of how good that game is going to be.
That is very true. Yeah.
Yep. Just saying.
Yeah,
reserve your judgment. Don't get too excited.
True. That's very true. There's a very...
Especially this year.
I was like...
Everyone, 2020 hates us all.
I was
all
like,
of us.
Shut up about politics, Rob. Shut up about politics, Rob. Shut up about... Okay, I can't help myself. Okay. So like, what's her name? The ex-wife of Gavin Newsom that... Mm-hmm. Gave that speech where she looked like she was Madonna and Evita going da, 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 that whole thing. Like if I just,
I was actually more thinking of Ivanka.
If
she's a very pretty, pretty smart person.
If I pass,
and she's garbage.
If I passed them on the street, I would be like, she's really pretty. I bet that's a great wig. Her makeup is beautiful, but you know, all right. Anyway. Oh, let's get some comments from Bobby Blackwolf. Bobby Blackwolf is saying, Ni No Kuni trying too hard. Stay in Japan. Hashtag say Ni No to Ni No Kuni MMO in America. Say Ni No.
Nice.
To Ni No Kuni. That's a good one, Bobby. Good. You had to know that was coming for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories. So are you marinating on that one? I love it. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. It's time for the listener roundtable. If you guys have any questions, ask away in our chat. Anything that we have or maybe haven't talked about yet tonight on the show, please feel free to pop that in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We would also take this opportunity to check our mailbag. Every week you guys can email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. But I believe in checking with Postmaster Dark Sakura, who's a better postmaster than the one that's running the... Anyway, the mailbag is empty, right?
Yeah.
All right, bummer. Well, maybe next week. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com. However, I will take this opportunity to mention we had a comment over at vognetwork.com on last week's show. But before I get to that comment, I think, Loki, you have an obligation and have to step away, right?
Yes, I do. Refrigerator drama.
All right. Oh, boy.
If it's in the garage, it needs to be in the kitchen.
All right.
Hey,
well,
we have to replace our refrigerator soon, so it'll be my turn next probably.
All right. Well, I hope everything's okay. Did you have any last minute or I'm sorry, not last minute. Sorry. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
No, just have a good week. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you in 2 weeks, Loki. Thank you. And good luck with the refrigerator drama.
All right.
All right. And then it was just me and Dark Sakura here on Discord. The Discord image will fix itself in a moment here. But I did want to read this comment here from E3VL because you can leave comments over at vognetwork.com on episodes. And I haven't always been great about reading those on air. But since we've tried to consolidate the roundtable a little bit, it reminds me to check on that. So I will point out E3VL commented on the last episode. Fall Guys is free on PS Plus as long as you have a subscription. You must claim it by the end of the month. So, yeah, time is running out on that, by the way. And I think I saw in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Black Compat said, haven't downloaded it yet, but plan to. And, yeah, I would get on that, my friend, because, yeah, tomorrow I think is the last day you're going to be able to grab that. So get on, because, yeah, I don't know if they expected Fall Guys to do as well as it has. So it's only going to be a matter of time before they want to start charging money for that again. So, but thank you for that, E3VL. And also of importance, E3VL gives their Animal Crossing New Horizons Island Dream Code for us to visit, potentially on the next episode of Animal Crossing Lounge Radio, which I need to check and make sure nobody else is using that title. I just figured they
weren't. Why would anyone use Animal Crossing Lounge Radio?
You would. Do you remember my spinoff show, Horde House?
Yeah.
Did you know that at one point I considered calling that show Warcraft Lounge Radio? And you know what?
Someone already has it.
Another show started the week before Horde House did called Warcraft Lounge Radio. I don't know if they're stupid. I don't know if they're still going on. Well, we don't own the patent on Lounge Radio.
Yeah, we do.
They can do. It was a fine. It was a fine show. I have nothing negative to say about it. It's just one of those. I hope nobody beat us to it. Yeah. Anyway. Maybe Tiger Claw's looking right now. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, Act Deft, in talking about the refrigerator issues that Loki is having, says, if only it were easy to move stuff like in Animal Crossing. Everything turns into a leaf. That's right. Except with my luck, I'd keep picking the wrong thing. Like, I would be trying to pick up this desk, and I'd try to pick it up, and then all of a sudden, I just pull the posters down from the wall. So... anyway, Bobby Blackwell says Google has no results for Warcraft Lounge Radio. Well, they might have pod faded. Horde House was 2012, so it'd be pretty impressive if they were still going. But I really don't. But what about Animal Crossing Lounge Radio? That's the one I really care about.
You might be interested to know that I finally on Facebook retired the archived the Danger Squad group.
Oh, that's kind of sad. That was our old Warcraft guild.
It was.
It's finally. I understand. Huh? I understand why you archived it. It was like 10 years ago we were all raiding there. But it's always a moment of, oh, you know.
You know what else I found?
What's that?
I found the thing that, why can I not remember his nickname now?
Well, quickly, Bobby with a follow-up saying the only results for Animal Crossing Lounge Radio is... what came up on VOG is VOG stuff from our one episode we did. So, yay.
Slagkick. I do not know why I could not remember his nickname because I was thinking of the drag name.
He's also first mate Slagkick on Game Buoy, although their episodes have been unfortunately very sporadic in the pandemic, but we understand.
Well, we had an idea for doing a comic, and I think you might remember this.
I do. Yeah.
Called Hillsbrad Blues. And I just found all the renders I pulled, like, you know, 5-year-old renders, and the first panel of the comic we did. So
you know,
maybe I'll post that on my Instagram.
We kind of flew by it at the top of the show, but one of the things that was announced at that Gamescom event was that the official date for Shadowlands, the next Warcraft expansion, is out, which is October 27th, I believe. I think it's October 27th in Europe, but I think because of time zones, it's actually like the 26th in the evening here. But we have a general date for when that's coming out. I
don't know if that's going to get me to play, though.
Yeah, and that's where my head's at, is that, like, I think I'm kind of done with WoW, but I don't know. Then I'm going to hear everybody, because I had that show, Horde House, I made a lot of Warcraft community friends. I went to BlizzCon and did one of the pre-events years ago, and I had a great time. And I still have many friends I made in that community who are just good people. I feel like when they all start blah, 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 blahing about it on Twitter, it's going to make me want to go, oh, it's FOMO, right?
And I'll be honest, the biggest thing that really pushed me away from playing WoW, from really enjoying it, was the shit they pulled with Sylvanas. And I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
No more. I cannot stand it. As much as I freaking loved the, you know, I had all this fun Illidan stuff, and I was really getting into it. I was so happy. And then they fucked over Sylvanas.
Yeah.
And took away my demon elf husband.
It was really weird how they handled her story, so... I don't know. I guess I'm going to wait and see, but I also feel like one MMO is really truly enough, and, you know, Final Fantasy 14 is just kind of where I'm at. Do you know how many...
I'm still considering Star Trek Online.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, the folks that were with Starboard Power Coupling, I know that show hasn't been out in a while, but it was a show here at VOG for a while. Dr. Ken plays that game still pretty regularly, I think, and enjoys it, so... Yeah.
I made some really good friends because when I was playing it, I was super unemployed, or fun employed. And so I was playing late night. And so most of the people I played with were in the UK, and I'm still really good friends with a couple of people that, that I played with. Good architect friend lives in Edinburgh. So it was pretty fun. Made some good friends that way.
Question in our chat. Fat Ninja DM in chat asks, will you guys and gals be playing New World when it releases next year? That is the Amazon MMO that they've been working on for forever. So I'm gonna admit, that game was not on my radar. But I don't know, are they having an open beta or a closed beta? Something's going on with that game right now, because I see people on Twitch streaming it. And one of my friends was streaming it the other night. And I have to say, it wasn't on my radar. But when I watched my friend stream, I was like, okay, this looks interesting. I kind of like the way the magic was kind of neat. Like his character was up on a hill and he was launching fireballs like they were bow and arrow down on this other group of people, like literally raining fire on them. And I was like, okay, that's like, you know, yes, in Warcraft, you also rain fire on people, but it doesn't have that same feel that like of like, oh, there's like physics involved in this whole thing. So it kind of looked neat. I have to admit, my curiosity was not piqued until I saw it being played on Twitch, which happens, right? Twitch has been a great way to sample games, right? So it's why
really
a lot of companies want to get in there.
I really, though, don't care about it. And the big reason I don't care about it is because I don't want to care about it. Right now, I have so much on my plate and such a backlog, and I really want to get into more familiar territory with some of the games that I'm playing, just things that are fun to me, and I don't really want to try anything super new in that respect. Does that make sense?
It does.
It's like when you eat the same thing for lunch every day because it's really good and it makes you happy.
Yeah.
I'm in the same game.
I get that, but...
And Bobby, no, it's not just because it's not Animal Crossing, because I've got other games that I'm playing. I have other things I'm looking forward to. But I don't want to dip my toes into another MMO universe when I'm not doing any MMOs right now.
There's also, and there's a big difference between the commitment for like an MMO and the commitment for a game that, like I recommended to you earlier in the show, I think Telling Lies would be something up your alley. Well, you can experience Telling Lies in like 2-3 hours. You know, I'm not saying you're going to get, but I think there's that level of commitment. And I get that, is that, like, you know, I don't have time to get sucked into another MMO, but, you know, I do have time for this other little, this puzzle game I can play in a short burst. Fall Guys, I can play for 5 minutes and be done with it, you know, or whatever it is.
And I could actually do some WoW on my own. I got to level 80 in WoW by myself, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, yeah.
Without playing with anybody, without doing a single dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just did them all by myself. It's just the thing is that I don't, you know, that was kind of the problem I had with Final Fantasy 14 at first, was that I couldn't just speed through the, you know, do stuff in the game by myself and level that way effectively. It kind of made me do that for the quest lines. But, you know, Star Trek Online, I could go in and just, you know, if I wanted to just futz around, I could just, you know, take myself over to, my character's probably still at Quark's on Deep Space Nine, okay? But, you know, I could, with something like that, I could just sort of, you know, play around in it, you know, have like a good 10 minutes of just exploring, doing a couple of battles, going to a planet, boom, I'm done. And that was it. I don't really want to involve myself in a new MMO and have to commit myself to learning its environment, learning its culture. Because, you know, you're in an MMO, it's going to have its own culture built into the game if it's any fucking good. So I really don't want to have to expose myself to that quite yet when there are other MMOs that I have enjoyed in the past that I could be revisiting if I wanted to, which I do not.
And SJ100 Matt has a good comparison here in chat, saying it's like starting a new TV series with 5+ seasons that you haven't seen, but everyone has seen. It's a large commitment. There are some shows you can't just have in the background that you have to focus on, like Game of Thrones. And yeah, like that's a great, like it's very easy for me to say, okay, you know what? I can binge the Castlevania anime because there's 3 seasons, but there's 1 season and like 6 episodes. I can do that. But yeah, when you start to get, and this happens to me all the time, is that like even a show that I really enjoy, like The Good Place, and Shane is always saying, when are you going to finish that? When are you going to finish that? And it's like, my backlog keeps getting bigger and bigger. I just don't know when I'm going to be able to do it. But then some other smaller show will sneak in. It's like, oh yeah, I binged it because it was only a couple hours. So it just kind of depends on what you have room for at the time. So, all right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap things up for the night. And I will say, thank you for taking the time to work Orange Lounge Radio into your week, whether you joined us here live on Sunday night or you're listening to our podcast at some point throughout the week on a platform like iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for choosing Orange Lounge Radio to fill quite a bit of your time, more than the normal podcast this week. But we make no apologies for the length of our show. It's the way it's always been. So thank you so much for checking us out. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices to be here to help put them out on air. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show goes a long way. Auto hosts for VOG Network on Twitch really go a long way. Thank you to those of you. I wish I had a list that still showed me that Twitch took that away a while ago, so I don't know who's hosting, but I will just say thank you if you are one of the people that does that. We really, really appreciate it. On that note, I think we'll wrap things up. Remember, programming note, we will not be here next week due to virtual Dragon Con and the Labor Day holiday. I hope all of you out there in the States have a wonderful Labor Day holiday. If you're somewhere else, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, whatever it is you're doing this weekend. Please be safe. Remember, just because you're done with COVID doesn't mean COVID is done with you. Please continue to wear your masks, social distance. Let's get through this. We have some hopefully promising things that are going to help, such as this rapid test that's all up in the news these past couple days. It's not going to fix it, but it's going to help. And hopefully we'll continue to make progress over the next few months. But we've got to wear our masks. We've got to social distance and keep following the rules. So please
Speaking
keep that in mind.
Speaking of masks.
Yeah.
Did you see Lady Gaga's horn mask? It's beautiful and I want one. Everyone.
No, I didn't. I have to show me that.
If you want to make wearing a mask interesting, do stuff to it. Keep it effective, but go to town and make everybody think, oh, gosh, this person is fashionable. I want to be like them.
I hated the idea of masks at first because I didn't like the idea of hiding. I mean, I wore them for scientific reasons only, but I've warmed up to them a lot because now I'm like, oh, you can get masks that are fun and festive. It's kind of like underwear, but it's like everybody can see it.
underwear that's fun to wear.
Yeah, exactly. Except it's like overwear.
I was having a chat with somebody at Oto's the other day. It's the local Japanese market.
Uh-huh.
And we were just talking about how they've become like our fashion accessories here.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I mean, and you know, I had already adapted, not like doing this like as a, oh, I did this earlier before everybody, but I had adopted wearing masks at work if I had a cold or I was sick, because I get sinus infections so often, but I wouldn't know if it was a sinus infection or if I had a cold or if I had the flu or something. So for me, I always had these charcoal masks at my desk that I would pick up at Daiso in a box so that if I was sick, I didn't get somebody else sick. Mm. And right when everything started going on, right before I got pneumonia, people were like, I heard you have masks. I heard you have masks. I'm like, yeah, I have masks.
Nice.
There you go.
Bobby,
you
know, Black.
I hate wearing a bra, but I have to sometimes.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I look at it kind of like ties. You can have fun ties if you have to wear a suit. I hate wearing a suit, so wearing a fun tie makes it tolerable. Same way with masks. Yes, I wear my mask, I promise. So, yeah, it's a little fun. A little fun to be had. All right, anyway, let's get our final thoughts.
I just say don't be a mask commando.
Yeah. Dar Soccer, final thought tonight. Parting words for our listeners this week.
I'm full of hot dog, and it was amazing. And also, I ordered you a thing.
Me?
I ordered you a thing. Yes, I did. Yay. It's going to take a while to arrive.
That's okay.
Because of where I ordered it from. But I will give you a clue if you want to try to guess what it is.
Okay.
I could go for the obvious and tell you that it is... Okay. She's your favorite.
Oh, Alanis.
No.
One of my
She's
favorites.
She's one of your favorites.
One of my favorites. Maybe it's... Oh, you brought up Gaga earlier. Maybe it's Gaga. All right.
She's not a living person.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see. All right. Okay. So that's that. We're all wrapped up for the night. My final thought would be... I guess I already kind of said it. The whole thing I just said a minute ago was stay safe with COVID and all that. I don't need to repeat myself. So
do the thing.
Yeah. We'll see you in 2 weeks. I hope to see many of you at Virtual Dragon Con. Please do consider participating. We'll be hosting that here at Vogue Network all weekend. But of course, you can find all the programming for the track that I'll be on and Bobby will be on. You can see that at DC Digital Media on Twitch. That'll all be on that channel. Or you can check out all the other programming for the general con. They're going to have some celebrity panels and things like that over at DragonCon.org, their official Discord and all that. Have a great week, everybody. We will be back in 2 weeks. We may do a pop-up show, though, especially if we get major announcements from Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo, because we are expecting that whole price and day. That could be coming at any time. So if we do get something in the next week, we may do a pop-up show. So stay tuned for that. All the latest on our Twitter, at OLR, and, of course, here on Twitch, at Vogue Network. All right, that's it. I'm going to shut up and roll the credits. Have a wonderful 2 weeks, everybody. Thank you, Dark Sakura. Thank you, Loki. Thank you, everybody in chat, for being here tonight. Have a wonderful 2 weeks,
Thank
everybody.
Thank you, Rob.
Good night. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogueNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.